Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. That's a trick, right?
That's I think it told. Is. Personally, okay. I just prefer black leather. I'm old-fashioned.
What the fuck's going on down there?
T.
Ladies and gentlemen, praise Kukulkan. We are here in 2012, outside of the scope of the Mayan calendar. The world does not seem to have ended quite the way I was thinking it would, but I do see dinosaurs outside here on the first episode of 2012 that I'm sitting in on. With me today is Aaron.
The dinosaurs are because it's actually Friday the 13th on top of being
Why did you remind me that it's... Oh, now if I knock some over, I'm going to... Oh, damn it! Look what you started, you nasty... I'm taking you with me.
Okay.
Also here with us and being dragged down to the depths with us is Omegas Prime.
I don't know what you're all complaining about. I've been spending the day smashing mirrors and walking under ladders, and I am absolutely fine.
What he doesn't know is all the nerves in his back died when the first glass shard entered his spine, and basically, don't sit back. It'd be a horrible noise if you sit back.
What happens if I sit?
They never listen! So, yes, we are here to talk some Transformers. My apologies, everybody, that last week, for the first time ever, I was not in on the regular recording, because I was down at the Mag Fest, Magin and Festin. But I did audition to be the intermission. Hopefully, the producers, you know, they saw my innate talents and let me intermiss. But we'll see. We're going to talk some Transformers, and I know it's getting a bit old, but they've been dumping all their news out, bucket loads after bucket loads every week. We got more BotCon to talk. Quickly, because I'm sure that this was gone over last week, we can probably talk a little bit about the six-pack now that we've seen a teeny tiny image of the box set six-pack for this BotCon. We've already talked about some of these toys before. The big reveals in this little three-shot was we get to see a tiny little picture of their take on Metalhawk, and a tiny little picture of their take on Ultra Magnus, which was rectified today, and a tiny little picture on their take on Dreadshot, which I believe was rectified before this six-pack picture even showed up. So just quickly, I want to throw down that I don't think we should really dwell on Shatterglass Soundwave, because that, I mean, we dwelled on it on Twitter, let alone whatever we discussed last week. Yeah. All I'm going to say is... many props to Pete Sinclair for apparently going into his own pocket to make sure there are headbands. And many anti-props to whatever the hell happened that made Soundwave's face that long. Because he looks really goofy and really dumb and nothing like the artwork on the front page of BotCon.com, which is what I wanted him to look like! So,
maybe it's just something about that mold where the heads are not allowed to go correct.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they said that they...
Contractual.
They said they sculpted it to account for the emo hide factor of looking down, and then someone told me maybe the way they accounted for it was by elongating his faceplate all the way down to the base of his collarbone. Even if he didn't have that faceplate, though, the eyes are so boring and so dead that, especially after some of the head sculpts last year, like, who was it, Wild Rider, having that kind of, like, squinty, crazy look. Like, that's what I wanted out of Shatterglass Soundwave, because I like... the idea of Shatterglass Soundwave as a character, believe it or not. And that, I think, was what really bummed me out when I saw that head. Because when I saw the news on Twitter, I was like, oh, dude, finally, I'm going to see this. I see the head sculpt, and I'm just sitting there agog, like, man, how... what a bummer.
The biggest thing that got me was just the fact that it was such a long face. And in retrospect, yes, if it's there to correct issues in that mold... it might be more acceptable, but Soundwave is iconic.
Go to BotCon.com and look at the way his eyes look in that headshot there. He has big optics, you know, they're lively. They aren't two green dots, which they are on that head sculpt last I looked. I'm going to double check this, but that is where I was looking forward to the Soundwave, and I am disappointed severely by the Soundwave.
My point is to say that Soundwave is iconic is look at the Decepticon emblem.
Yeah.
Iconic. Right.
Like, you know, I like the bumper stickers. I like the Cold Slither logo. I know those two things have been big points of contention. I think those are fine for this universe's Soundwave. I can even live with the, you know, this is the Ironhide mold, so he's got weird busted up windows for the middle and rear windows. But to fail on capturing, I mean, I know Soundwave is supposed to be a very, like, unlively robot when he's the real Soundwave. That's why I wanted to see someone take Soundwave, like in this artwork on the front page, and put life into that face, like this artwork did. This artwork, I think, is fantastic. And it's a real bummer, because as someone who has been, by some folks, like, pointed out as being a big-time Shattered Glass hater who don't like nothing this Botcon's doing, I love Shattered Glass Soundwave's concept and wanted to see a much better toy.
The other thing that I kind of notice is that link that I shot there is the Botcon box set preview page.
Oh, I know what you're going to point out.
Yeah. When you look at that, it shows headshots for each of the upcoming toys, except for Soundwave, it shows off their Cold Slither artwork.
I wonder, I mean, it's like I don't think they're disappointed with the head sculpt, which is great, but it doesn't communicate confidence to me when everyone is saying what's up with his head. Not everyone, I mean, there are people who are fine with it, and that's cool, but a whole lot of people are saying what's up with his head, and that's the one guy who doesn't get a headshot in the lineup. It's like, okay.
it seems an odd choice.
But before we get repetitive, though, I mean, like, Omegas, any quick thoughts on Soundwave yourself?
Zartan's head was a better choice for that shot.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, this is just, you know, all I could do is echo the same comments. This is a letdown.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it just bums me because I like this character. For someone who's tired of Shattered Glass, telling me they're doing Soundwave was the one Shattered Glass character that I would say, yes, that's one of the missing links.
Yeah, it is a nice thing because it's one of the Shattered Glass characters that was, you know, one of the first ones we got to see. He was around since the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, and he already has Ravage.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's out. Now we have him, and God, what happened to the head?
Yeah, and it's a real bummer. Moving along from that, though, we also got to see Treadshot, whose new head looks fantastic, until a couple of us were talking and were wondering if Treadshot's new head was the alternate head that was sculpted for the Jazz toy back when Hasbro developed it. And I cannot remember what we saw in that PDF anymore. So if anyone out there listening remembers from that BotCon, please let us know. I think it is, though, because I thought, wow, this Treadshot head looks so good. How did the Soundwave head turn out so bad? And then I realized, wait, is this the... Especially when we see Ultra Magnus and what we know about him. I'm thinking that maybe this is the blessing in disguise of all these... this thing Hasbro did of designing alternate heads for every deluxe, which is that every deluxe toy that doesn't get a re-release in the mainline, now there is a well-made, really highly well-crafted alternate head for BotCon to use, which is fantastic. But it also really makes the Soundwave head look even worse. It's just, like, even if, like, I think it's even a bit of an optical illusion how huge his faceplate looks, not to get back to Soundwave, but I'm looking at him, and it's like, paint his neck dark gray, and maybe that would account for it. At least the optical illusion would break that faceplate away from all the white running down the front of his body. I don't know. I gotta get off the Soundwave thing. Don't let me do that again. Treadshot. Okay. I think Treadshot looks fantastic, aside from the giant insignia on his chest, which I find very bothersome, but that's fixable. I love the head, regardless of who designed it. I love the color scheme, because do you know what FunPub needs to do? Instead of doing more Shattered Glass or getting lost and not knowing what to do for ideas, you have Generations and Reveal the Shield, and you're done with Unicron Trilogy molds. Start doing Unicron Trilogy characters in updated molds. I think that is a great place to go, because when will Hasbro ever do that again outside of maybe Armada Starscream? This is, I think, the place to go. I think Treadshot is a great proof of concept for the next place to go with the club. I know that many will say, oh, but we all hate Armada. But it's like, yeah, but y'all hate G2 as well, don't you? And didn't that box set look kind of cool?
Right. Well, it's the thing. They're true homages. And something like that is going to get more respect, and even if it's grudging respect, you know, you're going to feel better about that than this made-up thing.
Yeah.
Because it's Shattered Glass.
Yeah, because, there's a lot of negativity toward Armada. I should know. but you're looking at the entire trilogy of toys that you can cherry pick, not only to put really good molds onto these characters, but also only picking the really good characters. Like, I don't think you're going to see Energon Ironhide get picked up for any kind of Bakkan set at any time.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think this is a great place to go if you want to do a Majin. I have always, especially lately, been preaching, like, and I think some other folks have agreed with this, that I don't even want to, it's not like I think they should only do homages. I just want to see stuff that excites me more than Shattered Glass does. And I would say that about any fiction that's been around since 2008 with almost no break.
Right.
Yeah. I would love to see just something new and amazing. And I know that's a lot to ask, but I think they have a lot of creative people at their disposal, regardless of what I think of some of the work they do in their own time. And they could come up with something really new and really cool, or at least really experimental, to break away from expectation. But I'm getting on a hippie rant there. Treadshot, Aaron, Omegas, I'll come to you first this time. How are you seeing Treadshot?
God, I have issues here.
You do, yeah. But how are you seeing Treadshot? Oh,
okay.
No. Wide open.
Okay. Let's put aside the fact that, okay, it's Armada Sideswipe again. Number one, I understand using the new head mold adds a little bit more of a special appeal to it. Okay, it's a clever little trick that Bakkan pulled here. Why would you not use the Jazz head when that mold is known for having a head that looks exactly like Jazz?
Oh, you mean Armada Sideswipe?
Yeah.
That is a point. Sideswipe, I believe, did have some kind of goggles. Now I gotta go look at a headshot of him. I'm gonna
forget. He had like glasses style goggles. They did connect.
The response to that, and I think what it is the fact that if they reuse this mold for someone else, which they're likely to do, then you can have two different heads.
Okay, this is true.
On the same thing. So potentially whatever their choice is for the other head. But is a better pick, and I know that somewhere we got a rumors as to whatever thing it'd be. And
yeah,
I'm
it's supposed to be
it
a crack shot, according to the rumor sheet.
Mm.
Which I haven't looked at crack shot lately.
You know, I think the only way that I think I'd be totally into a Jazz head is if they actually pulled the visor off and painted the eyes in, because Jazz does have a visor, but it's more of a V visor, whereas I feel Armada Sideswipe has like more like racing goggles kind of going on. The head shape is definitely similar. But then again, I think that also this could to devil's advocate it, although I agree with you in a sense that the head shape is closer on Jazz. They can also just say, well, this is Treadshot. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I really want to know this mad scientist over at FunPub that decided, okay, we're going to do a Shatterglass character outside of G1. Okay, which one are we going to pick? We're going to pick one of the Universe 1 repaints of one of the worst toys we've produced in the last 15 years, and it's going to be from the Battle in the Box set, one of the worst subgroups of toys they ever did.
And then invert it.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of like it, because to me it's the same kind of mind that would say, let's do a year of G2-style colors. I mean, granted, a lot of it was more just like late G1 Euro stuff, but it's that kind of thing, which is like, let's do something that is a known fan aggro quantity that has no reason to ever happen in Hasbro's attempts to cater to fans, and then make it as lavish as possible in that realm. Like, just that style of thinking, it just seems like that excites me the same way the G2 set excited me, of like, this is absolutely not expectation, and it's not treading any kind of line that a fan-oriented mainline product would ever even go near. I don't know. That's the draw I have on it. Only because it's so lavish. Like, right down to the translucent plastic color.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to know what this would have looked like with a Jazz head now. Thanks for putting that in my head, you jerk.
Anytime.
And just get an extra Jazz and pop the head on.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Jazz's head pops off pretty easy. Aaron, what are your thoughts on Treadshot?
It's sad that this is the one that has me the most excited. And even then, excited is a strong word.
I'm excited, but that's because I'm totally a Unicron trilogy-er.
Yeah.
Even though I hate the shows.
It's nice, but it's, I mean, it's like we said in the pre-show and we've been saying here, you know, maybe there are other places to look. And I think that, you know, pointing at the Unicron trilogy may not be a bad thing if we're, you know, if the idea barrel is running out, you know, it's something that is in the history. And at this point, it's coming up on a decade, you know, RID would have been my favorite thing. If you're going to do some sort of celebration of a previous line, you know, that's its 10th anniversary, be a good spot for it. Or coming past the 10th anniversary at this point. But, you know, that's something that you could hang the lamppost on. And there are going to be people that are 18, 19, 20 that were 8, 9, 10 when it happened. That's could potentially be something that, you know, somebody got started with. And it seems like there would be plenty of things that you could do between, you know, because there were plenty of cars in the, like the spy.
Spy changers. Oh, dude.
Spy changers.
I would be up for, like, that would already be, I think that would be a cool box set. Do up deluxe size spy changers using Generations RTS molds.
Right. There's plenty of places that you could dip a toe in. And come up with some ideas to do that. Be an homage-y round and...
Oh my god!
And not have to rely on your own thing. That, again, there may be people out there that really like Shattered Glass and all of its incarnations, but much of what I see on TFW, much of what I see in my Twitter feed, Transformers Friends on Facebook... To me, personally, at least, it seems as if Shattered Glass is a past concept, not a, oh, holy crap, I'm glad they're doing it.
Can you imagine the cow pattern spy changer Ironhide done out of the cup mold from Generations?
That would be crazy.
And it would even transform similarly. It would even transform similarly to the spy changer. Oh, man. Okay, I'm campaigning for that now. Like, I mean, that to me is my favorite of the spy changers, is cow pattern Ironhide.
Yeah.
So, there is a mold sitting right there. Oh my god. Okay. Yeah,
but that's the rough thing of, you know, we can sit here and come up with ideas, and if anybody ever says, you know, why is this or why isn't this, we get kind of shut down. But that's it's rant. I don't want
to. No need to rant. No,
I like this. But, come on, let's totally like white mocha this episode up.
Yeah.
I am all the for. First... I mean, like, especially after all the downer that we've been talking. Like, I'm much more interested in coming up with a positive thing out of this rather than just once again. I mean, we all got disappointments, and I mean, we're going to talk about stuff on other toys in a little bit, but yeah, I mean, that, I think that is a great idea though. Like RID spy changer box set. That is a cool box set, I think. And if you do a G2 box set, don't try to tell me that you have no interest in doing a spy changer set. I mean, you even get some heat sensitive paint, so it's like in car, like the car robots versions have like heat sensitive like logos come up on the windows and stuff.
Yeah. Say, then you already have your sideburn from the toy, from the club toy. So you could do a Prowler X-Brawn.
Oh, I guess you want to go. I mean, I just want to see the spy changers now. No disrespect. Well,
I'm just trying to think of quick things to set if we're going to. If we're going to white mocha this thing.
Yeah, well, they already gave a Skybite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's repaint Gigatron into Gigatron.
there's plenty of depth there, I think.
There's still so much untapped potential if they, you know, it just takes the right inspiration. The first time, this is, you can tell, you know, what Transformers I kind of grew up on when they first showed that they were going to use that laser prime from the Reveal the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that came into my head was Micromaster Powertrain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, There's something in me that was okay. Let's do, the whole set's gonna be MicroMaster based, and then your pack in comic is gonna show the toys life size.
Oh geez, MicroMasters. That's a whole other set idea.
Oh, I just had an even better thing. You could do up Skid Z and reuse that awesome, hardly ever used Mirage mold.
Oh, yeah. They don't use that often enough.
I'm angry they didn't come up with our idea that we had just right now.
let's move along, because we still have to get to the main reveals here. There's also, out of the six-pack, there's one thing that hasn't been mainly revealed yet, which is Metalhawk, who we can see very tinily is being done out of Thunderwing. And going by the head sketch that came up, he's going to have his Pretender Shell head, the human head, which I can see where they're coming from on that. I can see entirely why you'd want to do that, given how the Thunderwing and Sky Shadow things went by focusing on the Pretender Shell head, because what we all remember Thunderwing for is what his Pretender Shell looked like, because that's what all the comics made real famous.
Right.
And I feel kind of bad saying it, but I mean, we got to see what the head sculpt looks like, but I am actually kind of uninterested in a Metalhawk with a human head. I know that that's the thing they were going for, but I'm looking at the alt mode picture, I'm looking at the robot mode picture, and I know that, I mean, it kind of works, but that's got to be a real good human head sculpt. It's got to look good.
Oh, yeah.
If it doesn't look good, it's going to really, I think, stick out.
Yeah, and that's also going to be a place where paint is going to have to be dead on. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing to forgive some miscolorations on a robot face, but on something that's supposed to be mimicking a human face, a little bit off is going to look a lot off.
Now, do they sculpt new heads for the G.I. Joe toys? I believe they do.
See, that was what I was...
That I don't know. There's enough variety in Joe's that they just part swap between this dude's thighs, that dude's hips, this guy's body.
That was the first concern in my head, because I don't recall, at least as far as Transformers goes, they've never done a humanoid face before. All these hard lines, robotic heads. I even wonder if the sculptors are up to something like this.
I think they've done new head parts when they did the Lady Cobra Vipers. I think those were new heads, if I recall correctly. So I'm saying is if they can get those people involved in this, that is a way that this could work out, because Thunderwing does have a tiny head. It's one of the reasons why I think a lot of us liked Sky Shadow more. And by virtue of that, if they can get their G.I. Joe head sculptors in on this a little bit, unless it's all the same guy, I don't really know, then I think there is something there. But definitely I am going to need a bigger picture than what we have right now. The idea, I think, is great, and I can dig where they're coming from. Aaron, how do you feel about Metalhawk in this fashion?
Watching Master Force right now, he's more a person. I'm at the point where he's just dude roaming around the base rather than giant robot. So Metalhawk as human is kind of the way that I'm seeing him right now.
Hmm. And Omegas, how are you feeling about this tiny picture version we have right now?
Needs more Mohawk.
Yeah, I could not disagree with that.
Unfortunately, I was never big on Master Force, so. While I love Japanese characters getting a little bit of love, I don't have much connection to him.
And as much as I think this is a cool idea, I do have to say that I was way more into the idea of Cyclonus into inner robot Metalhawk. Because I haven't really watched a lot of Master Force, and I tend to think of Metalhawk as being the gold robot. But I am willing to drop that if this is done really well and if the head looks good. So, fingers crossed. Because we do have a full reveal on the other member of the six-pack we haven't talked about yet, which is Shattered Glass Ultra Magnus. Apparently he comes from the Paradrawn prison planet and is a chaos wreaker who wreaks chaos and is chaotic. And is hell of blue. Really, really blue. Someone pointed out to me these are very clearly Photoshopped enhanced. I didn't really notice that right away, but if they are, that's good, because I hope that blue is a little bit more subdued, like in the artwork on the front page of Bakon.com. I like that blue more. Now, first I want to talk about what I think they were going for here. I haven't heard back from anyone in Bakon, even on Twitter, so I don't know if this is for real. But as far as I can tell, it looks like the truck mode, especially given the stripe along the side and the Autobot emblem being where a G1 Prime's forearm, or sorry, bicep would be, I think what they were going for was make the truck mode look like the G1 Optimus Prime cab that was on Powered Convoy, and then make the bot mode reveal a whole bunch of red so it looks like the armored up Powered Convoy, which I think is a cool idea, and I think faltered in one main place, which is that aside from those little squares on his collarbone, there is no red on his chest or his pelvis, and that wrecks the imagery for me, because now all this looks like is there is something missing in there, and there's just a sea of blue in the middle, and I think that this is a great idea, but I don't want to say this is a simple bit of color theory, but I think this is something that a lot of people who look for this kind of thing would agree on, is if you have a red helmet, red shoulder pads, red gloves, and red ankle parts, you gotta have a nice big unifying piece of red in the middle somewhere, and there is none there, and I believe that on his midriff or his belt or his pelvis there could have been some red without affecting the all blue truck cab. So
yeah,
I'm a little bit disappointed in that, because it's like this is almost a really good idea that, unless this is like just a work in progress one, it is missing a very crucial thing to unify what it's going for, and it's making the whole thing fall short for me. But
the thing is, if you look at Powered Convoy, that's his color scheme.
I suppose
it's red shoulders, red arm, red hands, red head, and the triangle stickers on his legs are red,
and
blue chest and silver abdomen and legs.
And this is where I'm so of two minds about this, because it's like it is totally up with the toy, but I don't feel like it's just a base level thematically coming together.
You've changed it because Powered Convoy also did not have a clear head, so maybe that's the change that you can make of it.
It's so close to working for me. Like, it is so very close. I think also, okay, I'm just looking, I'm doing side by side now. You know what? If the pelvis wasn't blue, if the pelvis was fully black, maybe I could see this more. But like, there is in some way, in some fashion, regardless of intent, there is an overabundance of blue in the robot mode that is kind of messing it up for me, I think. The truck mode, I think, is totally spot on. I don't mind the little flamey whatever's on the hood, and I think that using, like, having the red tanks on the bottom is a great way to get around the fact that you can't hide all the red. I think the truck mode was very smartly put together, in terms of its color placement. It's just a bummer that I feel the robot mode's too blue. That's the best way I can put it. It's too blue. But Aaron, how do you feel? Let's talk about the head separately, by the way.
Okay.
Now that we have like a separate thing about it. But aside from the head, Aaron, how are you feeling about Powered Convoy?
Again, this is a place where I fall into an odd realm with Shattered Glass. Had they called this Powered Convoy, okay, that I can definitely see how it's being very powered convoy edited. As Ultra Magnus, I can understand the connection between the two, but it'd be real nice if those abs had... You've got a great spot to do something with some color. I'm afraid it's all going to be very similar blue plastic and seem for a BotCon toy, at least, like there's a low paint numbers on this.
Well,
it's like there's... You're used to seeing a whole lot of paint on BotCon toys, and it seems like this one may be light if the clear Photoshop stuff that we're seeing is what it ends up being.
I'm trying to remember the color placement on RTS Prime, because I'm giving them also... I suspect they may have fully painted stuff to make it look like it was molded in a color for the sake of...
That could be too, because since they can't change the physical molds, you know, if something that you want to be blue is on the red sprue, then they've got to paint it blue. So it may be a case of where a whole lot of that Prime was all one color.
Yeah.
And they're trying some to punch it up a bit, but
all that lovely sculpted detail in the shoulders feels like it's a missed opportunity.
Right. Well, especially when it's all that lovely sculpted stuff in black. Because it's not like you're going to get a whole lot of light or shadow on black.
Mm-hmm. And, by the way, he is mistransformed. The inner part of his thighs will also be blue once those flaps are folded around. So, get ready for that. Unless I'm missing something. Maybe they're black flaps on the vehicle mode. I can't quite tell.
No, the other mode, they're blue.
Oh, goody. So, more blue is on the way.
Maybe that's an official mistransformation.
Oh, it could be. That is
because
a boon.
Those flaps don't get in the way back there.
Well, the wheels and his legs aren't compressed at all.
Yeah.
Which really does help the look of the toy when they are. But Omegas, how are you feeling about Powered Convoy?
This one's giving me trouble too, because I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I am a big proponent of Powered Convoy. I wish he had gotten a lot more homages when we've had the opportunities for them. You know, see Titanium and Animated.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, the color pattern just does not work on him. You know, I'm looking at a Power Convoy right now, and I'm not sure exactly what they were going for here, because a lot of the, like, it looks like they went out of their way to make a lot of these colors work and blend correctly,
mm-hmm.
and tried to lay it out, but others where they just kind of completely ignored the layout on the original Powered Convoy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure where they thought the balance was, but it just fell off the wagon at some point. Like, the original one was predominantly silver. Like, he had the red, okay, he had mm-hmm. the red on the arms, okay, and he had some blue on the chest and the side of his legs, but the bulk of that body was just a metallic silver, and there's almost none of it on this guy, which is really what it would needed to break up a lot of the more dominant color.
Hmm. Yeah. It's weird. Like, a lot of folks who haven't been into the Balkan toys so far, like a lot of us, I don't think we're all that into the Overlord right away. But I've been trying to be very fair to this, and I like the concept of this thing. But yeah, it's missing in a few places where I wish it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because it is lessening my support for this design, which I kind of like the idea of up front. Moving into the new part of discussion we have, we got a close-up of the head and some confirmations via various parts of message boards and social media. This is the alternate head that was sculpted for Reveal the Shield Prime back when he was designed. So this mm-hmm. is not a Botcon sculpted head, which is, again, like I said with Treadshot, who I suspect is the same deal, but I'm not sure. I'd like it if someone could get confirmation for me. This is a really cool idea, because number one, It's a neat looking head. It looks a lot like the idea behind this head was take movie Optimus Prime and apply him to this body, so you get like the what looks like retracted faceplate and stuff like that, and the weird like movie style mouth, which is like fully open all the way across and stuff like that. Now the idea they went for here is that it's a crystal skull with a helmet on. That is what I understand from various tweets, which I think is a cool idea. I like the idea of a painted helmet over a clear head. That's really cool. It's doubly cool when it's a single piece, because that's a lot of work. There are two main problems I have with this. Number one, a lot of the detail in the face is being completely lost by being all clear plastic, and there's nothing really supporting that detail coming up again. I think that like some kind of light wash over the clear plastic would have really helped, so at least it would be like panel lined or something. The other thing is that it looks to me like all of this red and the blue and the black is all painted on over the clear. That means that there are a lot of paint apps happening, and they are very panel oriented on this head. Like, there are a lot of hard lines that the paint apps need to follow. And I hate saying this, but after seeing the 2% of the sideburns that I saw, I worry about this turning out well in full production. I hope that FunPub has a lot of good fortune with the folks who are painting up these heads, because this idea is really cool, but any paint splatter is going to be tremendously egregious if it happens.
Yeah, it's the one thing it does kind of look like in that close-up photo, that it may be a separate piece, fingers crossed, because I'm trying to think of What my mind went to is what on the mold is clear that they could get it joined in with the clear sprue. for the windshields. Yeah. And so, you know, if that was the original intent of the head, then Hasbro's original intent would have been to have it be clear. So I wonder if the red painted helmet bits aren't maybe meant to be on a different mold color or on a different sprue than the clear.
Yeah, I'm not sure how this head assembles, really, because the, as I recall, I think, oh man, I have them in a box somewhere around here. I think the RTS Prime head is in two parts.
Yeah.
Which would logically mean this head might be in two parts, which could also make for an easier paint application.
So yeah, but if the clear majority and then like the helm goes through the middle of the head, if you've got that much clear, it will still light pipe like a mother.
Yeah,
and
would be
you'd
cool.
be able to have it be this way. So maybe we might get lucky on that front.
Yeah,
but
I really want to know how the production is going to work on this, and unfortunately, I don't have high hopes of hearing about that. But mm-hmm. it's something that I'm really curious about. Omegas, how are you feeling about this head, this crystal skull with the crimson helm deal?
Visually, again, I am with you in that there is a lot of detail in that face, and almost all of it is lost because of that clear plastic. I have bigger concerns than that. As a collector, I've learned that toys should never do two things. One, they should never be made of gold plastic with lots of glitter swirled into it. And two, you should never put a ball socket joint in a, you know, in clear plastic.
Yeah, clear plastic socket.
Yeah. Because, you know, it just can't, it, you know, clear plastic, I don't know what it is, but it just cannot handle stress over time. I mean, like, as it stands, you can probably see it if you own the RID Prowl mold on the inside of the doors.
Oh, absolutely.
That are held onto the ball. Yeah, you know, most of those are cracked. I fear for my OTFCC sideswipe in a few years when it starts hitting that age point. And I worry that in 10 years, you're going to see this thing on eBay all over the place with a bunch of cracked or completely split open heads.
Yeah, that's why I'm curious also about the construction of it, because if it is a multi-part head, then I'm hoping that surely the socket part is not going to be done in clear plastic.
Yeah.
No. I can't even tell in this close-up. It looks like there's some stuff behind his mouth. Because one of my other things I was hoping they could do with this is have some painted detail underneath the crystal skull to give a really cool effect. Having a clear head with multi-parts and then, like, opaque stuff on top, you can get really cool and layered with that. And it's, I mean, this is actually not FunPub's fault, because that's just the nature of how this stuff is made on their end. But I really wish they could have gone, like, super detailed on how these clear heads were painted up, just to make it a really special convention piece. And instead, I just noticed something. If you look at the black fill on his forehead crest, you see how there's black splatter over the ridge of the red part there?
Yeah.
And this is not I don't even know if this is a production piece. This is already making me kind of worried. Like, it's not like FunPub have a team of painters who do all their painting. Their painting is done at the Hasbro factories, as far as I know. And as we saw with Sideburn, that can lead to bad things. And I worry a lot about how many of these heads might end up with real bad mis-slop. And I mean, FunPub is great at replacing their toys when you're at the show if something is wrong with them, but there's only so many replacements you can do, and I don't want to drop percentages again. I know that, you know, they're going to say, oh, I'm sure a majority will be fine, but this is a calculated risk that I hope has been calculated by the folks making the toy. It worries me a bit. And I also really hope this isn't the only time we're ever going to see this head sculpt, because I'd love to get a crack at this thing, like, unpainted in clear and try doing my own job on it, but I'm not going to do that on a toy when I only have one copy of it and it's from a convention set.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I like the concept a lot. I really like the concept of this head sculpt, but I worry about the execution, because I don't know if it's been proven that such an intricate thing can be done successfully on a high level of success. But I like the concept a lot. A lot of people are bumming on the concept. Oh, it's skeleton face, man. It's a big pile of mush for the face. I think it's cool. Problem is, I don't think it's going to look cool 100% of the time, which sucks. Any other thoughts on the six-pack of Balkan toys from you guys? Are you looking at the non-attendee or the attendee sets? Are your fingers itching for the... I haven't registered yet because I'm not going to... As I said, I'm not going to know until February. So hopefully they won't sell out.
Surprisingly, they haven't sold out yet.
I heard they were 60%.
Last year's was 4.5 days to sell out. This year's is taking a bit longer.
Well, they said 60% sold out at some point. Have they dropped another percentage lately?
Not that I've seen. 60% through, and what was that, in 5 days?
Yeah.
And last time that we actually got a number of some sort. So I think that the surge is done. It's now going to be the ones trickling out, and I don't know if those numbers are also going to relate to the non-attending packages or not, if they have a separate block set aside for those. Wow. Okay. Can't talk.
It's all that puking.
Yeah.
Well, there is one more BotCon toy we can talk about, which is not officially revealed, but someone in China got their hands on what is apparently the souvenir toy BotCon Octopunch, who is Hunt for the Decepticon Sea Spray, which also helps us, between this and Bludgeon, we know now that all the non, like the pseudo-classic-y looking movie robots seem to be up for grabs here. This is that Sea Spray toy, done up as Octopunch. The colors are all spot on. I don't think it looks bad. I just think it looks incredibly underwhelming. But that's because I am of the opinion that if Octopunch is going to be done, you've got to go whole hog on him in some way. And I appreciate that the Sea Spray head is like an update to the Octopunch diver helmet. I can see that. I'm okay with that now. At first, I was pretty not into that. But I kind of wish there was a bit more of that dark, reddy, burgundy thing color on him. And I also wish that the tentacles painted on his chest had been painted slightly differently, because everybody who pointed out that they look like a pair of ducks are a bunch of dicks, because now I cannot unsee the pair of ducks. And it's wrecking the toy. So why would you sculpt the tentacles overlapping like that? God damn it. Anyway, I don't think this Octopunch sucks, but I think Octopunch is a toy that when he's just done as a color homage or you know, like this kind of homage, it doesn't excite me as much as what I think of with Octopunch, which is man with tentacles, what has an octopus head and there's a robot inside, which I know is completely unfeasible for a BotCon exclusive. But that's just where I'm at. Like, I don't dislike this. I will happily own this if I get the chance, but I'm not as excited about it as I'd like to be.
Yeah, I think this is another one where it would be kind of a tipping point of if they had remolded the head to be even more bull-like, that it would have, it would be, wow, that's really Octopunch. Not, okay, who's water-related in those colors? Octopunch?
Yeah, and Octopunch, partly because of the helmet, the tentacles, has so much more of that burgundy, purple-red stuff going on. Yeah. On this one, he looks so white and turquoise, it takes me a while to make the Octopunch connection. Also,
If they had, like, asymmetrical tampos of the tentacles and made them look, like, suction cuppy down the side of it, and they wouldn't look like two ducks staring at each other.
But about the head, I want to point out something I pointed out, many people pointed out, and I feel it does need to be said. Remember how Flak was revealed? He was revealed the same way, like BotCon 09 Flak. And he even had fully done paint apps on the Cybertron Missile Arms Man head, whose name I forgot.
Scattershot.
And then when we got to BotCon, he had a completely new head. So maybe that's another case of what's happening here. Because I think that was proof to a lot of us that in some cases Funpub have the toys prototype without the new heads and then have the heads done in-house or something.
Could be true because, like, hey, we've got to make these in a test run color.
Yeah. Why blow the head molds? Especially when they've said the BotCon head molds are designed to make just about enough heads as they need before they break.
Yeah.
I have fingers crossed that there is some kind of new head for this Octopunch to just make him a bit more special, but if there isn't, I'm okay with him. I'm just not ready to defend him at all because he is kind of boring. Anyway, Omegas, how do you feel about Octopunch?
Ooh. Let me rip.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I didn't see the duck thing before. Now I see the duck thing. Cannot unsee the duck thing.
Absolutely. It's like the arrow in the FedEx logo.
Yeah. Octopunch has duck boobs. This is wrong. Here's the thing. Okay, yeah, he does need a lot more burgundy if he's going to actually look like Octopunch. When they do something like that, you know, they force a tampo onto him, like, oh, here's some tentacles, you know, please make the connection. You know, it feels forced. It feels like the homage just isn't strong enough on its own. Here is a blatant reminder of who this is supposed to be.
Yeah. I don't fault them for it. I mean, I know that they have their limitations, but regardless, my excitement is tempered and has a ceiling on it when this is the best that is doable.
Yeah, it almost feels like they wanted to use the character and, well, this is like, you know, okay, this kind of works. We're going to have to force it a little bit here. The other issue I have is, have you taken a look at the vehicle mode shots?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Did anyone notice the big red Decepticon symbol?
Well, I heard about this is also Shattered Glass Octopunch, which throws a completely new wrench into the workings of maybe everything that I'm kind of not into is his Shattered Glassness of octopus.
But that's the thing here. Look at the designs and the colors. The colors are Octopunch, spot on. He's got the tentacles. You know, they tried to make the breather look like the one on his G1 body.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to. If this is a Shattered Glass Octopunch, why would you go out of your way to make it look like Octopunch?
Well, that's where I'll. And I don't even know if this is the right word for it. That's where I'll defend it slightly. Is that they? It seems that they're trying to do a thing with Shattered Glass, which is make as many of their Shattered Glass toys dual purpose as possible, which I'm glad for. But it also mixes your artistic intentions a lot and makes things tricky to discuss because it. It kind of means you constantly have, in my opinion, kind of cheap outs on a lot of discussion points where you can hand wave a lot of it. And I'm not angry about that, but it makes it hard to discuss these things without feeling like it feels like there isn't as much of an open avenue for the artistic intent on these things as I'd like there to be. And I don't know.
I can get the whole dual purpose thing, but this just seems like a cop out. You know, it's just like, okay, we want another Shattered Glass Decepticon. Well, okay, we're doing Octopunch anyway. Just stick a red Decepticon logo on him. It just feels like an afterthought.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish there was. I know the burgundy placing is tricky because of the vehicle mode, but then just make the vehicle mode more burgundy. I don't know. You know. I wouldn't mind if part of that cockpit was big-ass burgundy stuff, so he'd have burgundy shoulders instead of white shoulders. But
like, there's also a part of me going, I really would have preferred Sub-Marauder out of this guy.
Oh, I forgot about Sub-Marauder. It's a way cooler name, too. Octopunch only works when you actually have octopus parts on you. When you're a guy called Octopunch, whose octopusness is chest tattoos that were drawn badly, then you're not much of an Octopunch. I don't know. I'm being mean now.
Maybe he just punches octopuses.
That's what he does. Okay, if that's his character trait, then I'm all in. Then I'm all in. Because I know it probably
won't. He's a hovercraft, and he sees an octopus, and then he has to transform and punch it. Eight times.
I kind of want to own this Octopunch, but I wish that I really wanted to, because it's friggin' Octopunch. How many times have we said Octopunch in the last, 10 minutes? Way too many times.
It's more than eight.
There's no other BotCon stuff I think that came up recently that we can really go into. So that's
I would like to make one amendment before we move on.
Oh.
The other rumored one for the Jazz Mold was Kickoff.
Oh.
Not. And looking at the toy now, the new head totally works better for Kickoff. They should have kept the Jazz head on.
Okay, I can see that. Well, I mean, for the other rumors, there's a Spinister out of Hunt for the Decepticons Tomahawk, which if that's just going to be classic Spinister, which I kind of hope it is, then that works for me if the colors are good enough. If he ends
totally wasting the opportunity for Cyclonus on our Unicron trilogy set.
If he has, I mean, that would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if Spinister has a red Decepticon symbol, I'm just going to rub my forehead. And then Shattered Glass Junkions out of Junkions. Let's see what they look like. Let's see what heads they use. I'm not going to, I mean, Junkions is great. I kind of wish it was just Junkions, but.
Yeah, well, we have three heads.
We do, and Troop Builders are
Yeah, there's
often...
there's three heads, but there's one that was never released in the U.S., and, you know, this would work so... Like, oh, man. You know, again, this is where the Shattered Glass thing ruins it, because, you know, if I was going to BotCon this year, I'd want a set of brand-new Junkions.
I would, too. I've been... Every year I've been at BotCon, when they say, what would you like to see for a set idea, I say, do me a Junkion year. Do a year of Junkions as the box set. And I mean, maybe this is the extension of that, but when I see Shattered Glass put in front, it makes me go like, well, I guess it'll be cool as a trio, or maybe if I do my thing I usually do, I'll have six of them and it'll be neat, kind of, but it's kind of like, here's what you wanted, only not. Kind of like back in the first Shattered Glass set with Jazz.
Yeah.
Where it's like, here's a cool looking toy, but we're going to tweak it so it's not quite what would totally work out for you, but don't worry about it, we have fiction for it. And it's like, okay, I guess. And I don't, you know, I wish I wasn't saying okay, I guess, about Junkions, because I like Junkions. And that mold is a little bit less popular with a lot of folks than it is with me. So it bums me out a little bit more. But, I mean, we don't even know what it looks like yet. Maybe it'll look amazing. Maybe their idea is going to be like, yo, the Junkions actually really keep themselves together, and it'll be like the three Junkions painted up as like Ricer bikes or something. Like, that could be kind of neat. I don't know. I guess now we can move along from BotCon. Oh, we also have a BotCon guest, actually. I almost forgot about this. First BotCon guest announced, it's Livio Remondelli. Remondelli did some comic art on the Chaos storyline, which unfortunately I haven't read yet, so I don't actually know anything that Livio Remondelli has done. But we have a guest announced, and I like that it's an artist, because artists need more friendship. So, props. Anything else BotCon wise, or shall we move along to new picture picks?
We can move along.
All right.
I think yet again we've tapped almost an hour out of BotCon talk.
Well, this time it wasn't an hour and a half, so I think we're doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a lot of catch up to do.
Slowly working it down.
Yeah. All right, going to the front page. BotCon everywhere. All right, that's. Siphon those out. New picture picks. Omegas, what is your picture you'd like to talk about?
I'm picking it based on the name alone because it amuses me. I believe I'm going to call it Hegemon.
Oh man, that thing, isn't there a definition in the news item where who wrote that? Was that Simon? Yeah, Simon is like, fun fact, Hegemon actually might mean this thing.
Yeah, it's actually from the classic Greek and meaning leader, usually of an alliance or a city-states.
Yes. It also sounds like a Digimon.
Yeah. This is everything Masterpiece Megatron needed to be. I mean, a third party... You know, we finally hit this point where third party companies are kind of outdoing Hasbro on the engineering and design front, I feel. I mean, the gun mode kind of suffers a bit, but who freaking cares? They managed to make an incredible looking Megatron out of it at what is probably an ideal size. I
mean, yeah, he's...
That's right. Yeah, it's about ultra-sized, I would think.
Yeah, I believe that he is sized very close to Faith Leader, if I recall right, which is basically he is sized around about Voyager, like large Voyager size, like old-timey large Voyager size.
Yeah, well, yeah. The photos have him up to the... all of our not Devastator guys, so...
Yeah, and he's taller than them, and they're pretty big. I think, anyway. And also, did you catch that we now have a price for him? Robot Kingdom put him up for pre-order for $100.
I would probably do this for $100.
99, actually. I'm rounding up.
Oh, well, now it's sold.
Yeah, now... No, now I'm not... I only buy triple-digit price toys. I'm not buying this crap. I love that... The removable stock for the giant gun mode turns into a display stand for his accessories.
Yes.
That's so cool. I do want to say, I don't think he's perfect, but I think he's extremely well done for something that's this size.
Oh yeah.
There's a shot somewhere of him from the rear. And I mean, this is just the case of a Gun Megatron. A Gun Megatron will always suffer somehow. Masterpiece Megatron suffered. This guy suffers in that the back of his legs are dead hollow because that's where his feet go. Which I don't mind, but you know, it's probably worth mentioning. I also like that he has a pickaxe. You can like you, that little Energon weapon thingy can be wielded as a pickaxe. That's kind of neat because it throws back to his status as a miner. I think this toy looks really cool. The only thing I don't know about, which prevents me from just diving onto this thing, is I have no idea what company's making it. I have no idea where they're coming from, and I have no idea what the quality will be like, which means I'd kind of like to let someone else do this first. But that said, $99 for this, I thought this was going to be $120 at least, so I am surprised. It's kind of neat that it seems to be basing itself in the price point of the not Constructicons. Like, it's weird that now that is kind of a faux price point.
Yeah.
Like, blocky Voyage, old-timey Voyager-sized robot, $99 is our third-party agreed-upon MSRP.
Well, like I said, it stays right under triple digits, or right at triple digits, which I know for me is a turning point. $99? Okay, $100? That's asking a bit.
Yeah, it's that old, you know, so-and-so price and 99-cent thing.
And
you just psychologically feels a little bit better about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, just commenting on the validity of his pistol mode, I think it's fine. I feel like I'm in a bit of a minority, but when I see a toy that's clearly supposed to be G1 Megatron and his gun mode doesn't turn out all that great, I don't really care. Like, when people are like, oh, it doesn't look like a Walter P-38, it looks more like a Luger. Or it's like, oh, that grip is so huge, it looks like a cartoon pistol. I'm like, who cares? Who has ever held his gun mode up as being the most important part of G1 Megatron? As long as the robot mode looks fine, if the gun looks like shambles, I mean, it sucks if it looks like shambles. I think this gun mode looks fine. It's got a solid grip. It looks like a gun as a child would draw a gun. Maybe it's not accurate to the engineering of a proper firearm, but I don't really care because it looks like it is a pistol, as I would have drawn one on a piece of paper with a crayon, and there aren't like jagged bits hanging off of it everywhere. It's a block with a nozzle, and then there's a block you hold onto, and there's a thing you pull. Like, that's all I want out of a pistol that turns into Megatron. So I'm fine with it.
Well, I think the accurate gun mode is what held back the Megatrons to begin with.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah, it's so hard to make a realistic gun and then make a viable robot out of it.
And this is a beefy robot too that's coming out of it. Like, that's what really caught my attention at first was how wide the shoulders are and how thick the legs are, because traditionally thick legs was what half of Masterpiece Megatron's engineering was trying to accomplish, was the illusion of thick legs through having accordion layers, which works as long as the tabs hold in place, and unfortunately they don't always hold in place.
This thing
looks really cool. I hope I can get a hold of one sometime, but I do kind of want to wait, because and it's not a slight towards the company making them, it's just that's how I am with third parties. It's like, I don't know you, so I'd rather someone else be the early adopter.
Let somebody else be the victim.
I mean, I hope it's not a case of that. I hope it's a case of like, hey, this toy's awesome. But I mean, like someone pointed out in the thread, if you look, his bicep joints are made of translucent red plastic, which at least it looks like it.
Is that translucent? Because I thought it looked like it was just like that either shiny paint or...
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of it showing. It's kind of hard to tell from that one shot.
Yeah, let me look again. I really can't tell because I hope they're not translucent plastic because, I mean, as we were just talking about, that would be a real easy thing to mess up. I think that's where the Night Morpher Commander originally had some screw-ups, was it used clear plastic for friction joints.
Yeah, the picture of him holding the big sword makes it look more like it's transparent. I was looking before at, I think it was the one of him holding a pickaxe, and those make it look like it's just kind of shiny.
Yeah.
But seeing the clear pegs on the top of his knees, or the top back of his knees, if that makes sense. I bet that is clear plastic through there. But, I mean, if it's sufficiently built, the clear plastic shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, ideally...
If they realize that, hey, this is clear plastic, so we got to deal with it differently than we would...
Don't put the pressure of the toy on it.
of something else. Well, you could. It's just you'd have to design it to take that. If they design that clear plastic like it's colored plastic, then they're going to have issues.
Yeah,
so long as it's not, you know, stress bearing, which unfortunately there's pegs and tabs here, but it looks like it's just to hold the handle together.
Yeah, so ideally. I am not going to assume the worst at all. There are many lessons learned from engineering that hopefully have been passed down before this was put together, but I think it looks really cool. I also liked that in the thread there was one comment where someone's like, this thing looks really cool, but where's the Decepticon symbol on the chest? And someone's like, it's totally over there where the first party toys are. It's not over here drawing the biggest aggro on a third party toy. I like there's a big smooth surface on his chest though, so you can just go like, hey, look, bop, there you go. Now he's Megatron. Moving on from there, hopefully we'll hear some more info about this thing as we get closer to its, I believe, June release. Aaron, do you have a new picture pick?
Yes, I do, and the page is loading slowly. Okay, the video for the General Morshauer Urgent Communique. Yeah. So apparently there is, I can't tell if this is going to be that they're going to do like an alternative reality game type things or if it's just pure teaser, but it ends the video. It's General Morshauer saying that they get to communicate and he talks to the president or something. And then it ends with the game begins February 4th, enlist now. And then you get pointed to a website that's prepare for battle and then it plays the video for you all over again. So something's going on. The battle to save Earth is coming.
General Morshauer's going to give me a chance to be a hero? He's going to be watching? Oh, God. I would join the military if I was commanded by General Morshauer to fight giant robots. That's General Morshauer. You notice how you can't see his legs? I bet you he has, like, robot legs. And he's such a badass when, like, the whole place shakes. He's like, don't worry, mm-hmm. That was one of ours. I'm like, yeah, that's right, Morshauer. Morshauer backhands robots when they disobey him. He's like, oh.
But
I was pumped.
Yes. Apparently all the battle is, or at least the website's letting you see, is that it's the ride, the 3D ride or whatever they...
Only General Morshauer would manage to make the horrors of war for his recruits. He would make it into basically a theme park ride because that's how badass General Morshauer is.
Yep.
He's able to reduce the horrors of alien cybernetic war to a theme park ride. You don't even know that you're in danger.
Yeah. But see, that's how you get ready for it. You make it seem like it's just a ride. Then you send the hapless schlubs out to be massacred by the giant robots.
Play this video game.
We're not supposed to be saying this on the video game. Video game, yeah, it's a video game. Mm-hmm.
Play this video game, it'll be cool. Nobody's dying that you can see.
Yeah, but... At the same time, he's roped an Autobot that we've never seen before into this little game of his as well.
That poor Autobot was probably all like, oh man, I'm so happy I got away from the war. I just gotta be involved in this theme park ride. It's great. This is all Morshauer's
hardware control circuitry.
Yeah, he's just... Man, Morshauer is the puppet master. I still really wish that General Morshauer did more in these movies. I mean, he's such wasted opportunity. Ugh. He's Metal Hawk. He's totally Movieverse Metal Hawk. He puts on like the blue helmet. The armor appears on him. He splits open and Robot Morshauer jumps out. Oh, God.
Aaron, the fanboy is embarrassing us again.
That's my God, right. That's why I picked that one.
We all love Transformers, don't we? So we all love General Morshauer. I'm going to tell all my friends who aren't Transformers fans all about General Morshauer. I'm going to represent the fandom real well.
You go do that, and you have fun with all of your little friends.
Morshauer! Do you have anything else to add about General Morshauer, either of you guys?
No, it is good marketing, if only there was actually more to the website. A couple of little junk Flash games reskinned from something else would go very well in that.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you could be like, hey, you can get started fighting the fight. Well, spend some time, play our stupid games.
I'd like to bring up another video just briefly, which is Michael Bay showcasing the Transformers 3 3D Blu-ray combo pack and the Signature Edition trilogy set. I only want to bring this up because I think it's hilarious that the video is like, he's kind of talking about this thing. He looks like, yeah, I got this thing. Let's read the back. It looks like there's special features and those jackasses that were following us around with cameras. They got a 3-hour thing. But my favorite part of it is when he's all like, there's going to be 5,000 of these limited signature editions. I'm going to have to sign 5,000 signatures. None of y'all know how hard that is, signing 5,000 signatures, you bunch of dicks. You got to 5,000 of these signature things. Like, he's basically just, like, complaining. And then he kind of pauses and goes, like, by the way, the Optimus on the table, that's mine. You can't have it.
Yeah.
Like, I love that that's the friggin' just the troll tone of it all, where he's like, I got to sign 5,000 of these things because I'm so rich. And you're going to buy them because they're limited. But, man, it's hard work writing my name 5,000 times. By the way, really cool looking Optimus statue. You can't have it because I got the only one. I don't even like Transformers, but I got the only one. Anyway, I'm Michael Bay. 5,000. I love that video. I was laughing my head off.
The thing is, when I saw this video, I went, oh, Vangelis is going to have fun with this.
Oh, I'm just so happy watching that. Because he just looks like he's just sitting there going, like, I'm just going to friggin' get these guys lusty for my statue. but I did want to talk about the new prototype picture we have of Perfect Effects Motobot. The Not RC RC, who is apparently perfectly sized just to chill out alongside taller generations deluxes like Rekgar and Cup. Reveal the Shield and Generations deluxes.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing about this that got me excited was the shot showing that this toy is able to reach up and bend her arms around to grab hold of the swords holstered in her back. I don't know how many folks heard my extended thoughts on Fans Project's Warbot Defender, but the fact that he could reach down, take hold of his guns, and then draw them from his hips really excited me. I love it when toys can do that, and I really like that this toy, she might not be able to like fully unsheath the things, but I love it when you can pose a toy grabbing hold of its weapons while they're holstered.
That's actually how I have my Warbot posed. He's got one gun up and reaching for his other.
Yeah.
Were I to get this, odds are I would have her in that pose.
Yeah, it's a really cool
part of the times.
I'm kind of excited about this thing only because I want to see Perfect Effect engineering a tall toy like this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get the pink one because it is so totally supposed to go with Rosanna. Ninja. I feel bad for the blue one because that used to be like, hey, it's Chromia, but now it's just like, hey, it's a toy that's probably not as cool as Prime RC that looks kind of like Prime RC.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one's going to get a lot of passovers for just the unfortunate Prime connotations that blue RC motorcycles now have. But I might be wrong. I'm way more interested in the pink one, and I'm kind of pumped for this. Are either of you guys considering the PEDX01?
Yeah.
Yeah. By irony that we're all so hyped up on the blue RC for one, and now the third party comes out, and we're all up on the pink one.
Yeah, well, it's because, like, hey, guess who did a really good blue RC? Hasbro. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to blow your thunder there, but I think that maybe you should have done that in Paradrawn colors.
Yeah, well, I think if I do get the pink RC at that height, it will probably replace the animated RC that I have in kind of my G1-ish display area where I have... No, well, I have Warbot in there.
Yeah, but
as the thing to stand next to that.
He doesn't look like someone who popped out of another dimension compared to the rest of the... I'm just giving you trouble.
Yeah, I know. Thanks.
But I know that you knew, but I felt like pointing it out because that way it makes even more trouble for you because now it's on the table and it can't just be ignored.
Anyway, my other point was going to be it would be interesting if she had a crotch peg in order to attach potentially to a Rekgar mold.
That would be pretty cool. I thought you were going to say a crotch peg to attach to the movie Fembot's
slot triangle.
Flap. Oh man, we gotta have a return of the slot flap somehow. We just gotta.
But if she had that option, or maybe an accessory that clips that gives her a little seat that she plugs into, because then you could get the whole motorcycle riding a motorcycle.
Absolutely.
Thing, get that fractal pattern going on.
Bust it out so it works across multiple toys.
Yeah.
And then you open up a whole new thing, and then let's say, hey, guess what? I bought 15 sets of the Shatterglass Junkions, whatever they look like. Now I got a whole array of motorcycles to mix and match.
Mm-hmm.
Omegas, are you... buy it.
Okay. I see how this works.
Yep. Buy it.
Is there no company you don't secretly work for?
I don't secretly work for Playmates because they suck.
I was kind of sold on this as soon as I saw the sword pose.
Yeah, that got me too.
Man, that is just really cool to see a toy capable of that. I think this proves that RC was never meant to be a car.
Yeah,
because there's no physical way of getting a really good toy out of that body shape from the G1.
What really got me is that at this point in 2012, between Prime and this, I'm realizing I don't give a crap what RC turns into.
Yeah.
Like, it just has to have a vehicle mode that looks like a solid moving object with wheels. And it's all about the robot mode.
And you know what? She doesn't have to have gigantic things behind her shoulders
to accommodate those vehicle modes. No.
Yeah.
Like, in this case, she has like a backpack thing, but it looks more like a tactical backpack than giant rectangular pauldrons jutting from her shoulder blades.
Yeah, they've managed to capture the look of the G1 toy without it even being remotely G1. We've blended, Prime/movie RC and the G1 into this perfect little being here.
I think the car RC as a good toy could still happen, but I don't think it's something that can happen in a way that most of us can put together in our own heads. Like, I think it's going to be more like, you know how animated toys and some Prime toys were toys where we looked at them, like, remember Animated Prowl as the best example. We looked at them and literally said, how does that work? And then when we saw how it worked, it was like, oh my god, that's awesome. Like, you know, the idea of the toy design that we can't build in our own head. I think that's the car RC. That's a toy that could happen, but a lot of us can't figure out how it would work. And I hope it does happen.
All I know is there's been many third party. Like, that's the origin of the third party, was trying to get a design of RC that would work.
Yeah, and a lot of them kind of suck.
I'd say all of them kind of sucked. I haven't seen one that really pulls off well.
Oh, I mean, a lot of them look okay, but the problem is there's tropes they fall into, which is either thunder thighs or gigantic backpacks or a car mode that barely looks like anything.
Most of the time, I find the car mode usually has the front of the car that looks okay, and the rear of the car looks like a woman doing yoga.
The rear of the car looks like the rest of the stuff on the toy, chilling out behind the front of the car. I'm not going to say I think RC cars aren't going to happen or shouldn't happen, but this thing is really selling me without being a car, and I think that's... Between that and that sword pose reminded me that on their tiny toys, Perfect Effect, they are so good at placing the joints to be able to do at least one just like poster shot pose, like the Reflector 3-pack, the one where you give him the giant Gatling gun and just have him like wide-legged stance, legs apart, just wielding this enormous Gatling gun, low angle photo shot. That's like the poster shot for that trio, and I think this blade unsheathing thing is going to be this toy's poster shot. Although it seems like they do really want the poster shot to be her sitting on a ledge somewhere with one knee up, but I'm not as excited about that. Anyway, I think those are our new picture picks. I don't know what this Dark of the Moon iOS app is that got to be a finalist in something, but congrats. Let's do some listener questions, guys. We got one from Oblivion's Left Hand from YouTube. Who says, hello, Aaron, Gogdog, Omegas, Seth, and Vangelis. That's everyone, right? No, it isn't. You spelled Omegas wrong. Oh!
Put me in the right spot, though.
That's right. Aaron comes first, apparently, and I come last. Screw this. That's just alphabet. I hate alphabetical order.
The one place where I win, that and getting butt dialed with cell phones.
That's right.
People use my last name first. Come on.
Goes on to say, this is OLH again with another set of weird listener questions. Good luck. Ooh. Number one, Vangelis likes to tell the audience to go write fanfics about every tiny sexual innuendo involving a toy that another podcaster says. My first question is, have any of you ever written a fan... have any of you ever written a fanfic? I don't care if anyone other than you has actually read it. I'm just curious if you had or not. And if you have, would you kindly share with the rest of us what it was about, if that's not too much trouble? Aaron, you ever fanficked?
Nope.
Oh, that was easy. Omegas, you ever fanficked?
Can I hide in a corner?
No.
Damn it.
You don't have to be lengthy or anything, but if you've done it, open up. Open up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have a very good discussion with someone's daughter?
I have no idea what you're talking about, and that sounds inappropriate, Aaron.
I think that was my first foray into trying to entertain people online. Was, you know,
so was having conversations with their daughters.
Okay, second form of entertaining people online. Yeah, I did do the fanfic thing.
All right. Was it a fanfic about Transformers, or was it about something else? I feel like I'm doing an intervention.
Ironically enough, given that the name came up already, it was Digimon based.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's all right. We've all been to dark places.
It's in a dark corner of the internet now that will never be brought back up again.
All right. I'm not going to push you for more info, but if you do ever, at some point feel like revealing more, you know, this is a healing place.
Listeners, if you find it, you get shout outs.
I've written a Transformers fanfic.
You will never find it.
I wrote one. It's buried somewhere. It was pretty dumb, but I like the concept of it. The whole idea was it was supposed to take place between continuities. It was supposed to basically be the deconstruction of G1 moving into Beast Wars. I put stuff in it like I wanted to have there be Gobots living on planet Gobotron. And they're like a bunch of people who are like illegal immigrants and stuff, and I wanted to imply that all of the combiners in City Robots all went insane because they were giant people with little people living inside them or living around them, or they were a bunch of minds fused together, and I feel there's no way that kind of thing could perpetually exist without eventually losing its mind. So that was another aspect of it. Basically, it was all about, like, Cybertronian civilization being run by the good guys, but all the good guys are a bureaucracy that take a whole lot of really unpleasant stuff and shove it under the table, and the focus of the story was all that unpleasant stuff. Like, I had this other idea of, like, given, like, I was imagining the whole Transformers reproduction thing out of the G2 comic, where it's kind of like a budding process, and then, like, the idea that traits would pass down through that. So what if the plasma brain damage Galvatron suffered had somehow made its way into the Transformers robotic gene pool, and then there were these, like, Transformers being created who were kind of, like, pre-damaged and would eventually go nuts with sparks coming out of their heads. So basically, I just wrote this really creepy story, which I want to go back and do sometime, because I like the idea of it. And I just, this is the unpleasant side of Transformers, and it's very much rooted in the stuff I loved about Animated, which is also showing the bureaucracy that runs a planet of robot toys. I like that idea. I really like that setting. So that's... I have fanficked. So suck it! Kind of like my fanfic sucked, because I wrote it years ago, and I didn't know how to write, and I still don't. So. Question number two. My second question is, which of the fanfics Vangelis has commanded the audience to write that you can remember did you think was the most amusing? I don't really need a reason. I'm just curious. I don't even remember what I did last week. Like, I don't...
I don't remember any of them, and I've never read one that was actually written to
embed
it into my memory.
I don't think they have been... whatever things I told people to write, I don't think anyone ever really picked it up and wrote it that I remember. No, I don't... This is one of those things where I'm guessing, like, we need a WTF a TFW historian who remembers everything we ever say to provide a list of every time I've asked people to write fanfics. And I am throwing down the challenge to all of you listeners when I say this. If you can provide me with that list, that will help with this question a whole lot, because we should come back to it sometime.
Excel worksheet with everything broken out into what episode, who suggested it, what was the suggestion.
How many times we said Octopunch in this episode, including that one. I don't know. Aaron Omegas, do you remember any of this?
No.
I have always been partial to the Brawn is Unicron story.
Well, that's not a story. That's fact. That's not a fanfic. That's real. Brawn is Unicron. I think I explained this a long time ago. If you need me to explain it again, you know, I'll do it. But basically, look at Brawn and look at Unicron. They're the same color. They got the same shaped head. Just one of them doesn't have horns. Brawn fell out of the shuttle, went through a time warp, became Unicron at the end of the universe, and then through a singularity, cycled back to the beginning of the universe and decided to take his revenge on everyone for dumping him out of the shuttle for a million years and decided to eat the universe. That's... Unicron is a timeless aged Brawn. It's obvious. Anyway, question three. Since I actually should ask a question pertaining to Transformers, my third question is, which figure or mold do you wish would get some third-party armor add-on lovin'? Personally, I'd like to see someone make a drift upgrade where he gets, like, five additional swords that all fuse to form one gigantic sword that's bigger than him. And no, I didn't get the idea from the FF7 movie. I got it from the... I don't know what that says. 00 Quan T model staring down at me from my desk shelf. Thanks for answering my questions. I always get a kick out of hearing you guys answer my stuff, and always look forward to the next podcast. Wishing you all, even people who didn't answer the questions, a Merry Christmas, Schwanica, Kwanzaa, other seasonal religious holiday, or a Happy New Year, depending on when this gets read. Oblivion's left hand. Little squiggly thing. Musical note. I just want to say, the idea of Drift getting a pile of swords that turn into a huge sword is the best thing I've ever heard. And I kind of wish that someone would do that. Like, just downscale the Infinity Warfare sword sets they did for Predaking or something. And I think that sounds really awesome. But, Omegas, have you ever wished there would be a third-party add-on for an existing figure?
That's kind of hard to say because it's mostly been done. I think the only big one that I wanted to happen was some kind of Classics Prime getting a Power Master upgrade, but I thought that was in the works, but it was kind
of
iffy.
Vector Zeta kind of is?
Not the Vector Zeta, though, because that's different.
That has its issues, though.
Yeah, I saw it in the thread, and I feel really bad for the guy running Slagicon. That's a bummer. Vector Zeta was the Slagicon third-party trailer for Classics Prime, and it sounds like the guy running the show is disappointed with how progress has gone to the point where he's offering everyone their money back out of his own pocket.
And yeah, what it looks like has happened in that one, at least, to turn this, is it's like their vinyl kits that the guy is making.
Yeah.
And it's more like original garage kit type of things that I was wanting to come out like a finished final project, not like a garage kit.
Yeah. It's I don't know the full story, and I'm not going to say anyone's the bad guy or anything, but I saw in the thread that the guy running Slagicon was posting apologetically, and I always feel bad when I see a guy have to do that about his own show. Mm-hmm. So that aside, though, I know that I've heard of Power Master Prime projects happening, but I've never seen any of them come to fruition, and I'm kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, it seems like the most obvious one after Magnus.
Yeah. But no, that's a good answer. That's because, oddly enough, it hasn't really happened yet. Aaron, what about you? What kind of cheapening of your hobby would you like to see?
Oh, I'm just sitting here trying to think of anything recently that could use that sort of upgrade kit logically. Maybe, like, a Prime? Even though he's never seemed to have, like, an armored up mode or some other thing that he's not being portrayed well.
You're running parallel to a really obvious one.
Well, tell me then.
Animated's Prime's
he
armor
did get
upgrade.
One, though.
That, no, but the big one that was in the almanac.
Oh. Yeah.
The line art is right there. It's sitting right there. And instead, a bunch of guys decide to try to make a Bakon set combine. And the thing's right there! It's sitting right there! Oh, God. Anyway.
I'd forgotten about that one, yeah.
Yeah, when you said Prime getting a trailer add-on that turns into armor, it just made that flash right into my mind.
Dang it.
Man.
Another one I'm angry at our idea that happened right now. Why hasn't other people already thought of it and produced it and
this question's
sent me
a bummer
one to talk about on the show? What the heck?
No, what I want to see, like, they have all these G1 upgrade kits to make G1 toys poseable. By the way, props to X-Formers for flipping Crazy Devi's table over and taking a big old urination on the back of it. That's just a burn, what they did. They basically released a full G1 Devastator posability upgrade kit for the cost of one of Crazy Devi's, like, set of hands or set of hips or something.
And all in one set, too.
Yeah, all in one box.
It's like it's done with logic and forethought.
It feels like it's literally one company going sick burn on another company. Like, pointedly almost, that it's Devastator as well. Although it could just be because the Encore came out. But I want to see something done like that, but for Armada Tidal Wave somehow. Like, just some kind of upgrade set to bulk them out joint-wise or something like that. I don't know. Because Tidal Wave is a toy I love, who is almost, like, really good even by modern standards.
Yeah.
And I think if there was some way to... And I don't know where it could fit, like, at all. But if there was some way to just fill him out and just bump up his posability a little bit, maybe give him new fingers that are, like, separate, give him those missing couple of joints that he's not quite got, I think that could be really cool. Although it might be really unfeasible because it would involve disassembling ratchet joints and working them into his existing fairly cool transformation. But that's like a pipe dream project I'd love to see, is Armada Tidal Wave getting his due in a new era. Or Armada Sideways getting a good toy rather than the misguided toy that he received. I guess those are way outside the realm of this question at this point. Give me... I don't know. Make Cyberverse Tops... Spin, Twin Twist, whatever, suck less. I don't know. Oh, you know what? Do an add-on set to change Roadbuster from being the non-weaponized NASCAR car to being the weapon-coded NASCAR car.
That way we could have a set of three in one line.
Yeah. Just third-party him, if it's not going to happen otherwise. There you go.
How much of that body panel would just be clip off or unscrew and screw a new piece on?
Probably a bunch of it. Like...
There you go. Hey. Even if it hinders the transformation.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Because when you turn him into a
weapon... They're movie toys anyway.
when you turn him into a weaponized NASCAR, it means that the car mode transformation becomes very moot because, especially going by the Human Alliance toy, parts of it are pseudo-transformed in car mode anyway.
Yeah.
So, go for it. Anyway, thanks for the question, Oblivion's Left Hand. We also have a listener question from Guard Convoy. These both came in, like, mid-November, by the way. He says, "Hello again, Vangelis. It is I, Guard Convoy, here again to ask you and your fellow podcastians a couple listener questions. Question one, if this was some magical fairy tale land, and Hasbro stated they were going to give Optimus and Megatron a rest, and they were going to use another group of previous leaders for the Autobots and Decepticons, who would you like to see lead the Autobots and Decepticons?" Aaron.
Go with Master Force.
Hell yes!
You got plenty of options there.
Metalhawk versus... Oh, God. Overlord. Oh, God. That would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah. And then you could even throw in your prime appearance with Genrai.
Yeah, if you want to, but let's not. Let's go full on pretenders on Master Force.
But then we'd get Power Master Optimus Prime.
Oh, you're right. Because it wouldn't be Optimus Prime. It would be God Genrai.
Yeah,
I like your idea a lot.
Because I'm about ready to start cutting someone in hopes of getting a Power Master Prime. As much as we've been talking about him tonight.
Whoa!
I don't have to cut you. Will that give me that toy?
You bit into that hard C just enough to make me worried. You can't cut me. We're on the internet. You don't know where I live.
I've shipped stuff to you.
Oh, God! I think that's a really cool idea. That's actually a way better idea than anything I was thinking of.
Because you could roll it, if we want to talk realistically here, you could roll it out of a series into another series, or you could run them parallel. You know, if we're talking potential Prime World, this is the Japanese Transformers squad. And really play it that way.
The Cybertronians go to Japan and just totally turn into anime.
Yeah.
I kind of really like that idea.
Yeah. So in our little world, because I still feel bad and haven't watched Robot Heroes yet, that takes place one place, Prime takes place another place, and then our Prime Master Force takes place a third place, third location.
This is what I like about the Primeverse, is that it feels so open to that. I mean, Animated was open to that as well, but Prime especially, I think because they have been so fixated on that one part of the United States.
Right.
It feels like the whole world's an oyster that we can crack open.
And so then, yeah, you can even maybe not having the Pretender aspect so much.
I'd love to see modern Pretender engineering. That would be so interesting.
Yeah. Maybe those are later things. Let the third party get the add-on clamshells.
But Omegas, what is your idea for new leaders?
Well, old leaders becoming new again.
Yeah.
Well, gee, there is such an obvious one.
I need to know what it is before I can agree.
Apparently it's not that obvious.
Yeah, apparently it's not that obvious. No, I'm going to go very cliche for me and go Star Saber for Autobots.
Oh, okay. So just jump ahead a year from Master Force for the Autobots.
As we've stated, I wasn't big on Master Force. Just aside from, yes, I desperately want a new Star Saber toy. It's just a leader we haven't really had since Victory portrayed him as a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
Which is somewhat of a different take than anything we've gotten in the U.S. before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a way of having something completely fresh rather than, you know, rehashing Rodimus or anything we've had exposure to before. And against him, only because I really want to see a proper revival of the character, I want to see Scorponok back.
That would be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I liked his Energon iteration, but I'd love to see him get that extra step up.
Yeah. Like, I think the Energon one has a good a good place to root him, where he can still be the Scorpion, but he has a more practical mode.
Yeah, I think it was a great way to prototype a modern Scorponok, because I'm not trying to talk, you know, any kind of jazz on that toy, but it's an older toy. It had its little faults here and there that I think could be ironed out really well. So
yeah, absolutely.
Bring it to me. Those ideas are all way better than anything I was thinking of. I was just like, I don't know, do Beast Wars again. That's the place to go, except that one of them is called Megatron, so we can't. You know what would be cool? Do Beast Wars again and tell us what the hell his name was before he called himself Megatron.
Megatronus.
No, not that one.
Gary.
Yeah. Dave and Gary before they took on the names of Optimus Primal and Megatron. That'd be kind of funny. Oh, man, I totally misplaced the question. Here we go. Question two. If Hasbro were to give us the option to vote for them to make a single Transformers, who would you like to see made, Omegas? Well,
so as...
Are you going to say Star Saber?
I refuse to repeat myself.
Right after that last question.
In an effort to keep the answers unique and original, opposed to each other, I want them to complete the classics trio that they completely, you know, missed out on. I want to see my classics Blitzwing.
Yes, that would be lovely.
That is my favorite triple changer, and I was so sore when, they did him in Animated. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about classics? Yeah, triple changers are real hard. So, here's Octane.
So you want to go like, well, here, now I have my imaginary giant whack of money. Make him.
Exactly.
All right. Aaron, what about you?
I'm going to cheap it up. Power Master Optimus Prime, come on. I'm worked up now here.
Well, yeah, now you're worked up.
I want to go in the other room and get mine down from the shelf and play with its bricky wonderfulness with four places you can put the arms.
Can we imagine that we didn't have this conversation, set of conversations, in fact, that we had before? And what would you answer then? You just sigh a whole bunch. Of course.
Oh, what I want. We've gotten so many things. Man, I don't know. Pass.
Oh, jeez. All right. I
believe you pulled a pass.
Off the top of my head, I'd kind of like to see animated Omega Supreme. Do up just a big animated Omega Supreme as a quick revisit and finisher of that line. I know there's a lot of animated toys who didn't get made, Constructicons, for instance, but if I just pick one, I would love to see a giant Omega Supreme and then repaint him as Spream and make me happy. do both. That's my answer to that question.
Okay, if I were to pick a Redux, I've had a bit of moment to breathe.
Yeah, 30 seconds!
Yeah, well, it was time enough. The focus was off of me. Everybody was looking at you. Would be a modern Overlord.
Now, I was going to say, that's real original, but we also just had that discussion halfways.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago. Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you and say, no, I want to see Overlord done as two deluxes, one male and one female.
No, that was just to go up against because who was the toy opposition to Power Master Optimus Prime in places that got the whole Power Masters line.
That's true. That is true.
Just following the same theme as I had before.
You know what I'd like to see?
I really dug the Masters.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and that would be something nice to see, but Hasbro's not going to do it for real because they don't want the loss of one piece to, air quotes, break the whole toy. You know, if you didn't have the Power Masters, it locked the transformations.
Well, kind of. You just go push the button.
Yeah, but if you lost the head off of a Headmaster, you had a robot without a head.
I want to see not just my two-pack idea done, but I want the girl one to be the tank, because that's what everyone would not expect. Like having the girl robot into a tank and a guy robot turn into a jet.
So, season 2 Beast Wars. Or Beast Machines.
A hella jet is different than a jet. Especially when one of them is totally British, and mine wouldn't be. Anyway, there's one more question here. It's question Q. If one character from GoBots, or the GoBits, was to be incorporated into the new Transformers Prime series, who would you like to see make a return? Thank you for taking the time for answering my questions, and I hope you all have a nice day. P.S. Click. I want to see Crasher! Because Crasher was the boss. But, Aaron, what GoBot would you like to see?
Tux.
Oh my god, that would be cool.
as like a department head of our Viacons or Eraticons.
Oh man, yeah, he's just like make him a Viacon with a top hat.
Yep.
And that's all he is.
Yep.
I would really like that.
You know how hard it is to manage these guys when Megatron like asks for 18 dudes to go out and get just blowed up?
Yeah, you gotta have Tux with his top hat giving out the orders. His cane.
See him like a beleaguered middle management guy that's like, look, I'm getting pressure from him to get this done. Look, Mike, you're just going to have to go out and eat Bulkhead's fist. I'm sorry.
I've been with
there's
this
no
company
options.
For 15 years, and I've earned this gold watch.
They said that they had an aggressive policy for promotion, and all I've gotten is a name in this hat and a watch. And a monocle. But
he takes it really seriously.
Yeah.
I like this character idea. Omegas, what GoBit would you like to see in Transformers Prime?
Well, you took my first answer.
I knew I would take it from somebody, but there's one other really good one that I can also give later. I don't know if
you should have taken it, because I don't know what it is.
Oh.
I know. That's the problem. Crasher deserves it. I mean, that's the first female transforming vehicular to robot thing ever. And it's a very atypical female at that.
Mm-hmm.
So it has kind of a very... She has a very unique place. Saving that, Destroyer.
I can't remember who he was.
Yeah, he was the bigger tank figure.
Was he the one with the tank turret for a face?
Yes.
Oh, that guy was awesome.
I had two as a kid. And I can't argue. I find it hard to argue a robot with a gun for a face.
That would be kind of cool. Like, to give him weird facial things around the gun, but make it so the gun is his face. The other obvious one I was going to say was Copter. Like, if you have Crasher, you've got to have Copter. Because Copter, I always thought, was kind of terrifying. Like, that weird, like, croaky voice he has, and his, like, single-minded devotion to the cause, and the fact that he wielded a spinning helicopter blade as a weapon. Like, I just want to see Copter just, like, swooping down and decapitating fools while Crasher, like, squishes their heads. I think they would be a really cool duo. That's just my GoBot pipe dream, I guess. Do you guys want to take an intermission? This is kind of a rhetorical question, as it always is.
But yeah.
It's polite to do. All right, because I got to go and get myself something, and then we're going to come back and talk about what we got this week. And I got loads to talk about in both parts. So you're going to be real pleased and real mad. Get ready for it. I don't know what these other fools got, but all I know is I have, let me just get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 8 or 9 things to talk about. So I am rocking the big pants here. What about you guys?
Not so big pants.
It's okay to have little pants. It means you're hip. All right, we'll be back in a second.
Where tyrants ride high and govern with fear, as the forces of evil conspire. Then from out of the night, a hero must rise with courage that even a mask won't disguise. They turn to the man called Zorro.
Zorro!
One who's larger than life and defender of all. Is this man who the people acclaim? He's the one who strikes back for the poor and oppressed.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back in the saddle with our hands on the bridle, pulling this horse off the road and up the hill to Providence. This is WTFATFW with what we got this week. We're going to talk about Transformers and Transformers relevant items not made by Transformers branded companies that we got this week first. I am curious. Omegas, did you get anything Transformers-y this week?
Just one.
Oh, what is it?
Well, since there are very few things on the shelves right now I can actually find, and I wasn't paying for it, I ended up with a Dark of the Moon Jolt.
Oh, like I kind of like that toy.
He confuses me.
He's really like, weird.
He is really weird. Like, okay, I get okay, the vehicle mode, you get the solar panels, you get this very, very pale blue. This bluish gray color. It looks like they were going with the same thing that they did with Prime and Bumblebee. Let's add solar panels and make him look space age.
Yeah, but, and like that toy was one that I was going to skip until a lot of, well, I say a lot, like three people who I don't think know each other all told me that he's worth looking at. So I picked him up and he's better than he should be, I think. But I'm not sure if that's what you took from him.
No. I honestly, this is the first time I've, you know, okay, video critic. I can usually, like, pinpoint everything on a toy that, this doesn't work, this works, this should have been this way, this works this way. I have no idea what to make of this thing. It just confounds me. Like, okay, I don't know why he isn't in the Jolt Blue in any form, for starters. When you take, okay, I like the transformation. It works. He's got elements I really, really like to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like how the chest works. I like the dragonfly wing thing that he's got going on. That's different. I like that he's not only using the rear of the vehicle mode, which makes a more interesting chest than yet another my chest is the hood.
Yeah.
But it's also inverted. So you've got a unique look going for him, you know, already.
Yeah, there's a lot of for a guy who doesn't need to be imaginative in his transformation, like for literally one of the most throwaway toy ideas I could think of, which is a deluxe Jolt for Dark of the Moon. That thing, like, looks like whoever made him was just like, I want to try all this stuff.
Yeah, he kind of runs as an experimental figure. I think so. I think he started suffering from that, though, because there's elements to him that I'm not a fan of. All the robot mode parts are the uncolored Games Workshop gray.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that none of it shows in vehicle mode, so I don't know why they didn't, like, they missed such an opportunity here. Like, if that had been in Jolt Blue, then I'd be fine, because it'd make this really cool transformation from this, you know, this bluish gray car to this blue dominated robot mode, and it would have been a really cool kind of visual effect to play off on the toy. And it just, it seems like that was either an idea for a repaint or something. Of course, we haven't seen it repainted yet. But it seems like such a missed opportunity, because it was there. You know, yeah. It would have worked.
And I really also liked that, I mean, as much as I love Jolt for his whips, and I was coming down on that toy for removing the whips, and thus removing one of the main reasons I like Jolt, I think it actually was a boon to that figure, that his whips were gone.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually does hold up a little bit better without that kind of, you know, the restriction of having to engineer those in.
Yeah.
The arms are where I draw a lot of the confusion from, though. Because I don't know why he has this, like, he has this side elbow thing, but it's so high up, it's like an extra shoulder joint, which doesn't make sense. His arms are akimbo to accommodate transformation. You know, and I keep thinking to myself, okay, if you've got this useless extra shoulder joint, why didn't you move it down, make a double elbow that would have looked right and still functioned the way you needed? You know, and it, you know, just kind of solve all your problems at the same time. More importantly, I don't know why his arm has no place to peg in at the shoulder.
That is my biggest problem with him, is that for everything he does that made me go like, man, this is cool. He gets to that part and like, all right, where do they clip in? Oh, nowhere. Yeah. It's like you fell asleep at the wheel or something and just forgot that part.
Well, it's like they were so focused on keeping the vehicle mode clean, they forgot to put a peg there.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. Although, like I said, I actually can't fault it that much, only because I didn't think the toy was going to be worth anything at all. And so, like, when it screws up, it's more like, oh, there's where the screw-up happened, rather than like, oh man, I can't believe they dropped this ball. Like, the whole thing feels like it should have been a drop ball, and it's not. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Also weird.
And the other problem is, hey, look. Ball joints with clear plastic.
Yay!
He does so many things right, and he had potential to do such cool things with the design. It kind of upsets me to see very minor things dropping the ball and just kind of dragging everything down with them.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Although, I kind of feel like maybe that was just like somewhere in Hasbro there was that attitude on Jolt himself of like, just get the toy out. No one cares about Jolt, and the one guy working on him was like, no, but I love Jolt. I'm going to make this the best Jolt ever. Like, all right, whatever. Cast it in gray. That's cool, though. I'm always glad to hear when someone actually gives a chance to one of the shelf-warmeriest Dark of the Moon toys, because I wasn't, and then when I did, I was pleasantly surprised. So,
yeah, he's more than I expected. He's just, like, he excels at some points and just really fails at others. It's, I literally can't tell if I really like or really dislike him.
That's, I think, the draw to me of a lot of the Dark of the Moon deluxes, is all of them are on the outset, to me, extremely boring in many ways. But then when you get them in hand, they have all these surprises of like, wow, like, you look at them as movie toys, but then when you have them in hand, you realize that they are movie toys that were designed after animated and after, you know, some of those Reveal the Shield Generations releases.
Well, I still wonder if that, what that mech tech gimmick does to the actual budget and design that goes into the toy, because not only are you taking some of the major engineering out to produce this extra gimmick weapon, and his is a cool one, by the way, you are also removing all the gimmick from him before. There's no Mechalive, there's no Automorph. You know, there is just the toy, and a toy that they have to be more logical about when it comes to transforming it. So, yeah. I think the way they were engineered the gimmick, not only does it work as a gimmick itself, I like the interchangeability with the repaints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that little marketing aspect to it. But at the same time, I think it accidentally benefits the main toy.
Well, that combined with, as far as I can tell, a very intentional avoidance of how complex Revenge of the Fallen toys were. I think it really comes together in an interesting way in Dark of the Moon's Deluxes, especially.
Oh yeah, like I will defend like the Cyberfire Bumblebee mold, like even in normal Bumblebee colors, I'll defend that because it is so much, you know, there's so much more thought going on to how that toy is engineered.
I am a huge proponent of the Deluxe Topspin, like the Blue Wrecker, whatever it's called. He is a really cool deluxe transformer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's really worth your time.
Oh yeah. One thing I think I picked up from Dark of the Moon, and this is not doing my wallet any good because I intend to go light on the series, is while I haven't been all that excited about the toys themselves visually, like just looking at them on the store shelves, looking at the characters that they're doing, the ones that I have picked up have been more than I expected. I got that with the Deluxe Thundercracker.
You know, oh, yeah. I'm
not expecting anything from him. And the design, you know, the transformation is just so clean. The design just works so well.
That's why I ended up buying so many more Dark of the Moon toys than I thought I would. It's why I'm still eyeing Nitro Bumblebee and the Twins. Because I am kind of done with those characters, but those are pieces of Dotem engineering that I haven't messed with. And
yeah.
I want to know how they did them, because especially on the Twins, those guys were famous as some of the most ludicrously complicated Revenge of the Fallen toys.
Uh-huh.
And having messed with Jolt and Sideswipe especially, I really want to know how those two toys work in hand. Like, I can go watch a video of them, but I want to have them in hand and mess with them.
Yeah, Sideswipe's the one I'm kind of eyeballing right now, mostly because I can't catch Darksteel in stock at Hasbro Toy Shop.
Yeah, and like that Sideswipe, yep. he is viciously unpainted, and he has no floor on his vehicle mode, but he is really interesting, and I'm not upset that I bought him.
Well, you know my history on the podcast. I've been disappointed with the last two Deluxe Sideswipes, so there's part of me going, this one's really interesting. You know, God, I want to have a toy of this character. I like the character. I like his look. I want to have a toy of him I'm happy with.
Yeah, a lot of those deluxes. I'm looking forward to how easy I'm hoping it will be to buy the Twins and Nitro Bumblebee for like $5, because you know I want to finish off that mold line, because I kind of almost want to do a featurette or something on Dark of the Moon toys, like on YouTube or something, just to go like, hey, here's a toy line that I had zero excitement for, and through the virtue of its engineering alone, like I really came around on. Like it's got some screw-ups, of course, but I mean, I remember when we were discussing the Toy Fair picks, I was kind of like, yeah, that Sentinel Prime sure looks cool. Like, that's about it.
There's no transforming toaster this year.
Yeah. But, aside from a surprising Jolt, did you get any other Transformers this week?
I did save one.
I know, but I felt like I need to find some kind
like,
of closer.
I don't have like any stealth purchases, okay?
But I feel so much more like a jerk if I'm like, so that was all the Transformers you got, right? Like, to reaffirm, like, yeah, you only got one. Like, I feel horrible.
During the podcast, he's managed to go out to the store and pick up another one.
Yes.
While you were rambling for 20 minutes like a hippie about Dark of the Moon engineering, I went out to Target.
Yeah.
I bought Cyberverse Topspin. Short review, he sucks. Anyway,
yeah, I have Skype on my iPhone. I, I, I'm, cracking him open just after the cashier dropped him in the bag.
anyway, moving along from there, Aaron, how Transformers were you?
Knockoffs count, right?
Oh dear.
I got the Korean Ghost Shooter and Minerva.
And how are you finding them? Because I was really interested hearing about those when GOG got them.
The capsule review would be better than your normal knockoff, but still not like G1 quality.
Okay. That's good. Like, if it's not falling apart.
Like, yeah. I mean, like GOG said, they're the same transformation, but none of the headmaster dial gimmicks. For the juniors, they had one dial rather than three individual dials. All those guts have been pulled out. Some of the panel lining and stuff has been changed up. I do think I'm definitely with GOG. I think a good repo label set would go far because the stickers that are on here are thick and they don't want to entirely adhere, at least on mine.
That sounds like a whole lot of Korean stickers I've seen on Brave Toys.
Yeah. And I had some flash issues, some mold flash issues on both of the headmasters where I had to kind of pull apart and trim up some things to get it to all stick together better. I also, like GOG, have never had either one of these molds in the original, but in comparing them to other G1 of the time, the plastic feels thinner or lighter than a comparable sized G1 toy. But they're, for $20 a piece, they are very good build quality. And if you want a couple of headmaster looking guys, there are a couple of headmaster looking guys. Like I said, I dig those masters.
Well, it's good to hear that. Like I said, it's good to hear that now in two separate cases, the build quality is sturdy enough to be satisfying. There's always the worry about those knockoffs.
It's not the scary knockoffs where you're like, hey, it looks really good. Don't breathe that way.
Yeah.
Look at it. Hold your breath. Turn your head. Exhale.
Set the humidity of the room.
Now you can look at it again.
The vinyl joints don't melt.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to be just fine. They come with an assortment of guns and things, and I was sitting here during the intermission trying to figure out. Ghost Shooter comes with a little shield that you have to take his license plate, jam it into the shield, and then it gives him a shield that he can have in his hand. He doesn't really hold it. The pegs are not sized to match.
Yeah.
So the shield just goes limp. The Minerva comes with a big ol' honking sword.
As she
and a
should.
Couple more guns. Yeah. Being the pacifist that she is, a giant sword makes all kinds of sense.
Completely.
But yeah, if you're thinking about getting these guys, I would say for the price and going into it knowing that, hey, you know, don't expect these to be, you know, 80s toys. They've got all the articulation of some 80s toys, but they're not going to be prime level toys. But they're definitely worth it, especially right now in this post-Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa time where there's not a whole lot of toys coming out. It's a fun little thing.
Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa sounds like something I caught when I was in Japan.
Yeah, that's where it came from, I think.
Oh, jeez. That's a nasty flu. Did you get anything else Transformers-y?
No.
Oh.
I've gone over everything, and no. There's just the only thing that I've seen that I didn't have was a Cyberverse basic, and I was really thinking about it, but that will be the emergency. I got something by since I got these Korean guys, so.
Well, I got a lot of stuff to talk about. I hope you guys are okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Worst case scenario, I'll boot up Civ 5. We'll be okay.
Oh, God, Civ. We'll lose you forever. Okay, first thing I want to talk about. My good friend John, you may know him as John on the boards, John Spanring, did me and Crasis both a real heavy solid in picking us up some Cyberverse guzzles. literally within minutes of us whining about them on Twitter, he had them in hand, which was scary when it happened. But Cyberverse Guzzle is a totally cool Cyberverse toy. I highly recommend. He's not perfect, you know, he doesn't have a waist joint, he doesn't have a head joint, but for a Cyberverse toy, I think he's pretty cool, and he has a bloody good tank mode. He comes together as a tank way better than I would have expected him to. His robot mode, it's very movie-ish, but the colors are so G1, it's wonderful. I'm really loving this Guzzle. I know I'm late to the party on this one, but I can highly recommend this Guzzle. If you are into Cyberverse, at least. If you want, like, a perfect, like, classics Guzzle, then no, it's not gonna work. Of course it's not gonna work. But I think that he can fill in that gap decently if you're a little bit movie-inclined. And I think tank formers also lend themselves really well to the two-toed robot approach, and I don't know why. I guess because they have so much bulk on them, it feels like that they're getting that extra stability or something. From having, like, the hydraulic piston sticking out of their feet. So I really dig Guzzle and want to send some big thanks to John, because he's a bro. I forgot if you guys got Guzzle already.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's right here. See?
Oh, there. Okay, I didn't see him over there. I was looking at something else. This is where you're supposed to say my eyes are up here.
Yeah. I'm not wearing pants, so I knew where you were looking.
Yeah. Also, I did my first order from Captured Prey. My first order from them on the internet, anyway. I've known Captured Prey, at least I've known Sidecutter, since, like, many BotCons ago. So I've always meant to order something from them. And I decided to start something horrible. You know what? You want to know what I ordered from them? I'm going to tell you anyway, but I kind of want to stall as much as possible.
Go on, keep stalling.
Y'all, just don't even, you're just sitting there waiting for, okay, so I ordered X-Graver Instructor from the TFC Hercules line.
Oh no.
Down the rabbit hole.
Well, I figured if they cost an arm and a leg, I'll order an arm and a leg first. So, that's the first and third releases from this line, so I'll talk about in that order. X-Graver is, I think, a pretty cool first entry, although he is definitely overshadowed by Structor. And my X-Graver has a little bit of a problem in that his legs are slightly misassembled. Now, a whole lot of people on Twitter went, like, just because he has this geared ratcheting thing on his feet and his heels, and, like, just move him down past the gears and move him back up. And I was like, guys, I've been doing that for 2 hours. It's not working. So I disassembled his legs and tried to just slot the legs in place, and there's just something wrong with mine. It's not a big deal, and I can completely see how to fix it as well, but I also seem to, and this is weird because this doesn't really affect anything, but I seem to have, in the surprise I had to see that he actually has set front and back foot pieces, they're also set to be left or right, which I didn't realize until I noticed that one of them had a hollow side on a different side than all the rest of them, which was weird. But like I said, this is barely really affecting anything other than, like, the OCD one might have to have a perfect figure. I also went in and I opened up his ratcheting joint on the shovel arm and shaved that down a little bit so it wouldn't be quite so terrifyingly tight and thus rip itself in half. But I like this toy. His vehicle mode works. His transformation is fun. The robot mode, I like. And the arm mode is an arm. I'm surprised. I'm looking at how people are reviewing these, and a lot of people seem to get really tetchy if you do a review of these guys and you don't mention the limb mode. And I think it's kind of funny, because it's like, how does the arm mode of X-Graver at all factor into your purchasing decision of X-Graver? Like, if you care about the arm mode, that's how it relates to all the other pieces of the combined mode. Like, X-Graver himself has qualities as well, which one should look at, because he costs a lot of money. Now, do I think he's worth the $90 more or less that he costs? Build-wise, materials-wise, looking at everything in the full package, I think he just manages to pull it off, because his plastic is really good. Like, it feels mainline good. And he has a lot of ratcheting joints that, well, they were actually too tight, but by design, they are very well built. I unfortunately did have to modify the one of them. But, like, stuff like the ratchets on his waist are, like, listen to that. It's so good! So, this guy's built well. Like, I'm not used to... I like third-party toys a lot, but, like, among third-party toys, the build quality on this is exceptional. It's better than anything I've seen come out of TFC before. It's definitely something that you could hold up to Fans Project's somewhat legendary plastic and say, that's pretty good. Also, in disassembling his crane to fix it, I had no idea how many moving parts there were on this crane. There's hydraulics everywhere. It's really cool. But he's also the less cool of the two that I picked up, because I also got Structor, who turns into the thing that pushes stuff. What's that vehicle called again? That's the truck, and it pushes things.
A bulldozer?
No, it turns into Devastator's foot that isn't Mixmaster. It's a truck with a pushing shovel thing bucket on the front.
An excavator?
Yes, I think. Whatever it is. It's really well done. The vehicle mode is basically like a block with wheels and a big shovel on the front, but I like it. And the robot mode is gorgeous! Like, the transformation's pretty simple, and it also has, like, and this is the guy who has, like, almost no QC problems. But one of the weird parts of the transformation, and this is actually the only knock I have against it, is there's these little gray pieces you have to swivel out to unlock his backpack, and they are in tighter than my fingernails are attached to my body. So they're kind of hard to get out. The bright side is you only really have to get one out, then you can kind of just muscle the other one out of the way. But, like, he has these knee ratchet joints, like... hang on. Like, that's solid-ass ratcheting. And then check this out. His shoulders, right? They have a rotational part. His shoulders themselves are just a simple, like, universal joint. Also... The number of joints on this guy, which people are calling ball joints but aren't, is awesome. Like, you know how people will just call it a ball joint when it's actually a universal joint?
Yeah.
A lot of those on these guys, which I really like when they're this size. But listen to this ratchet! It's so heavy!
You know how I feel about that audio stuff. Keep doing it.
Love it. And... the beauty of all these heavy ratchet joints is that a lot of these are because these guys are going to combine. And it's really good to see big, thick, heavy joints attached to this stuff. Because it's gonna be needed, I'm really sure. Like, if there's one problem with Structor, it's that he has a really big thing hanging off of his back. He has a lot of stuff on his back, but... I find that it doesn't really get in the way all that much. The only way that it legitimately gets in the way is it prevents his waist joint from turning a full 90 degrees. But boo-hoo. Because he, like, Structor, more than any other one I've seen so far, literally looks like what we wanted, or what we imagined classic modern toys could look like in the early 2000s. He looks like a G1 cartoon model with extra tech bits and posability. Like, it's really cool. And, The other cool thing about these guys is that, much like I'd anticipated, they feel like the natural evolution of the Unicron trilogy. Like, they are big, blocky robots, but all their joints are super tough.
Okay.
And the aesthetic is just, it's the Unicron trilogy, especially Galaxy Force and Energon, just that blockishness, but with the added bonus of some decent posability and good... what's the word I'm looking for here? They feel like they can take a beating. Like, I know that they probably can't, because they're expensive collector's toys. Yeah, they are robust. I really like these two, and I'm sold. Like, I'm all in on this thing. It's like, listen to this. Here's the knee joint that he's going to use when you plug this guy in as a leg. Like, hang, I can't even move this thing without proper leverage.
You need the mass of five others behind it.
Listen to that. That's going to be his knee! Like,
chills.
Like, these guys are expensive, yes, and they transform somewhat simply for $100 toys. This is a case where I think a lot of that money is going straight into build quality, which is a funny thing to say given the QC problems that have arisen in these guys, but those QC problems I don't think were a case of materials, those were a case of poor tolerance build. Like, X-Graver's big problem was that his ratcheting joint was so powerful it would break the bearings open, and that was just a case of the ridges being too big. I believe Heavy Labor's big problem is that his ratcheting joint has so little tolerance that it strips its own gears when you move it, because there isn't enough spring. So the current fix is to cut a bit of a wedge in there so that the ratchet part can now compress a bit in spring. There will be a fix coming with Neckbreaker, apparently, but it's just, like, aside from those really unfortunate QC issues, these guys are actually built really well, as far as I can tell. Like, I don't know if that'll all change when I combine them together, and maybe their combined weight just implodes all their joints, but I'm really digging this stuff, and I don't feel all that bad about getting into it, especially now, because most stores don't have all of them available. There are reissues of them all coming out. We're still waiting for two of them to be released. So if you go in now, you actually, unless you pay for pre-orders, it is impossible to drop all the money on them right now, which is very helpful financially, because it means, like, I could, like, Captured Prey only had these two, and I was like, fantastic. I'll buy those two. When you get another two in, I'll buy those two. When you get another two in, I'll buy those two. I'll take my time with it. I don't think there's a reason for a rush right now. The only other thing I want to say about these guys is that they actually kind of have the mech tech gimmick. They have all these 5mm-ish looking ports on their bodies, and they have a lot of little removable parts, like all of the little cockpits on the vehicle modes are blocks you can pull off if you don't like how they look and just plug in somewhere else. They have a lot of swappable parts so that you can kind of customize what you want their robot modes to look like. They can also just be made to be, like, transformable without any parts forming whatsoever. It's just that you'll have a lot of stuff hanging off of them, but it does work. And I like that they offer those options. A great example of this is also in Neckbreaker, whose feet are apparently designed to be transformed in three different ways depending on what you like your robot's feet to look like, which I think is a really cool idea. So they're really cool toys, and I'm very impressed by their build quality. For all the little issues that pop up here and there, the very baseline build quality is great, and it is necessary for these things that are going to combine into a gigantic, like, 12.5-inch tall robot. So I like them, but man, it's frightening to look at this path up front. Like, it really helps that I'm finding value in the individual modes, especially Instructor and X-Graver. And I know that X-Graver has been a point of contention for a lot of folks who don't really dig him as much, but Structor, I think, is fantastic. Anyway, are either of you guys going in on the Devastator guys? I forgot to
no.
Staying far away or just not interested?
I'm staying away.
Oh, my wallet,
for my wallet's sake, and the ability to go to BotCon.
Man,
I am blowing way too much right now on Bugmens to even attempt this.
I let so many Bugmens pre-orders just slip right by when I went for these, because I was like, I know I'll be able to Mandarake those later. And this. Aaron, when you come to TFCon, I know a bunch of us have these things. I'm sure that you'll get to mess with one at TFCon.
Yeah, Geronimus is getting them all too.
Oh, he's got... You're going to be surrounded by Hercules's. It's going to be the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, on Structor, he has an enormous amount of stuff hanging off his back, but he also has heel spurs that are bigger than his feet, which means that he can stand very solidly with all that stuff on his back, just in case people were wondering. I don't know. As a point of contention or not. But the only thing I'm considering now is whether or not I'm going to go for the Repro Label sets on these. Because I actually kind of like simplified color schemes. So I don't mind all the quote-unquote missing detail, but I may go back and purchase those at some point. I'm not really sure. Anyway, I still have more stuff to talk about. Sorry about this, guys. More third-party stuff to talk about, in fact. I bought my first iGear toys! I got Rager and Spray, which are absolutely worth $15 shipped a piece. Like, $30 shipped for the pair. Amazingly good deal. There are problems with these toys, but the fact that they cost $30 shipped for the pair does mitigate a lot of these problems up front in terms of a purchase recommendation. Starting with the friggin' boxes! They come in these packages, really thick cardboard, glossy art all over the thing. It looks very professional. You open them up, okay. There's a tray inside, but they also come with a collector card. You know how most collector cards are just cardboard? This collector card, this little trading card, is printed on credit card plastic and has sparkles in it.
Hmm.
That got my attention. Because, listen
to
this.
Is their way of importing credit card blanks?
I think so. Listen to this. That's my knuckle on the card.
Hmm.
And the sparkles make the art on it look gorgeous. That's not even the toy. So, I gotta throw props for these things. The packaging on these is a winner. It is an absolute winner, and it really makes it feel like you got a good deal. But I should talk about the toys. So Rager and Spray, Huffer and Sea Spray. This is weird. I thought Rager was gonna be my boy, and I thought Sea Spray was just gonna be that one I got with him. Rager has a good vehicle mode that pegs together really well, but I don't like his robot mode all that much for a couple reasons. The transformations, by the way, on both these guys are really cool and quite solid. But one of the problem with both of them is they come with weapons. Rager comes with two guns. Spray comes with a gun. It's nowhere to put those things in vehicle mode, and I think there's no excuse for that. There should have been a place to plug them in because these were designed in the last couple years, and it's dumb that they forgot to do that. The problem with Rager is that, number one, he's got his front wheels are basically attached to the outside of his kidneys, which means they actually get in the way of him not being in an action pose, which is kind of a bummer. The other problem with Rager is that his head is poseable, but you know how he has that roof over it? Like the front of the truck kind of hangs over his head? There's no way to actually get your fingers onto his head. You have to use a screwdriver or chopsticks or something to move his head around, and it's really stupid. If that front of the cab could have been able to fold back, which it would need to for an obvious remold, redeco of this guy, then this whole problem wouldn't be there. You'd be able to pose his head totally well. His head has a ball joint on it, but you can barely stuff your fingers in just enough to basically either tilt it back or pull it forward. But that's about it. I've had to use a screwdriver and a fingertip to get him to turn his head slightly sideways, and it's really stupid. That's actually why I don't like him as much as Sea Spray, which is weird. But other than that, I mean, he's a great little toy, and for $15, he's completely worth it. Sea Spray, his vehicle mode has all kinds of gaps in it. It looks kind of weird, and it doesn't peg together very well. There's a lot of obvious places where there could have been ways to have it be more solid, and there's just nothing clipping into anything. It's all just kind of hovering in place around itself.
All right.
But the transformation, which, you know, it's pretty easy. It's Sea Spray. Once you transform him, he has an awesome robot mode. His head is a little bit limited to pose, but the thing is that huge yellow turbine thing hanging over top, you can fold that back to actually reach his head with both fingers and just pose it as you want. He's got the engineering in him to let you pose his head and then reset his robot mode over top of it, which Rager should have had. He's also got enormous pontoon feet and, like, ball-jointed ankles, so between all the other joints he has, like ball-jointed elbows, ball-jointed everything, a waist joint, he is really poseable. And I think is easily my favorite of the two, which kind of sucks because his vehicle mode and his vehicle mode just doesn't hold together very well. And that's the only thing that's a knock against him for me. But again, also, for $15 shipped, he's absolutely worth it. So I'm very impressed by these two. I don't know what Seth thought of them. I believe he talks about them in the previous episode, and I haven't heard it yet. So apologies if I repeated anything there, but I'm really impressed with Spray, and Rager is totally good enough for his price, but I wish that there was more to him. But yeah, they really blew me away. I think I'm all in on these iGear minibots if they maintain that price point as well. Like, if that Cosmos goes up for 15 shipped, I'm going to order it. Are either of you guys considering these? I forgot again.
Again, there's interest, not as much as the not Devastator, because it's the inexpensive. These might be like a convention pickup.
If you see these at a convention for like $15 or $20, I think they're totally worth it.
Yeah.
Only because they're third party toys. I mean, like they are very small figures. Although Sea Spray is kind of huge in robot mode for such a small figure. Yeah, they're really well done. I still haven't messed with the Make Toy or the Make Toy ones, Hover and Bomber. Although there's an awesome topic in the Transformers feedback forum of a guy comparing the two third-party Sea Sprays, and it's called like the Boat Shoes Battle or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great little article. I highly recommend checking it out. He does a really good job comparing the two. I also got some official Transformers to finish off.
Oh, they still make those.
They do. And I got these on my way. Like, these were actually MagFest loot. On our way to I went to MagFest last weekend, the Music and Gaming Festival. On our way there, we stopped in a Walmart to get some supplies, and then I told everyone I was driving with, I was like, listen, guys, I know we only just met, but listen, I have this thing. When I'm in a Walmart in the States, I have to go to its toy aisle because I have to know. Like, you know the feeling, right? Like, if you're in a Walmart and you don't go to the toy aisle, you feel like an idiot, because what if they had something, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm like, I gotta go to the toy aisle, like, right now. And they're like, all right, we'll come with you. So we go there, and I see, like, that place was massacred. This was, like, the first weekend of January, and you could tell. Like, most of the toy aisle was completely gone. It was just a big blank wall. But in the Transformers section, I saw some rescue bots. Specifically, I saw only three rescue bots, and they were all Blades the Helicopter. Mm. And I recalled that a lot of people were trying to find Blades because he was apparently rare or something. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll buy a Blades. Like, I sat there hemming and hawing, and I was like, well, he's only 10 bucks, and I'm not going to buy anything at MagFest, so I guess I'll buy Blades. Then I found out later that I should have just bought all three Blades and sold them to people here, because apparently he is still kind of hard to find. But this thing is fun! Like, these rescue bots feel like the logical evolution of everything I loved about the Revenge of the Fallen gravity bots. There's two places where you can grab hold of to transform this guy, either his arms or the dial on the top of his helicopter blades. And it's just one motion and everything transforms. His arms twist, the cockpit retracts from his face, and his legs split. It's really well done. And it's kind of like, I like to refer to this as basically a transforming stress ball or paperweight. Like, it's just very calming. One-step transformation. No posability whatsoever. Really good colors, though, and a surprising number of paint apps. So I really, really dug that. And then when I was at MagFest, I actually met a podcast listener, which really kind of freaked me out, because I was like, why am I meeting a podcast listener at this completely non-Transformers thing? But lo and behold, I did. It was Wingnut, I believe. Hang on, I have a picture from him. I gotta double-check this now, or I'm gonna feel really bad. Yes! This Wingnut. He gave me a couple things, actually. But when I met him in the dealer room, he said, oh, hey, I bought this Rescue Bots Optimus Prime from my nephew, and it was like, buy one, get one half off. So I bought two of them, and here. So he gave me this Rescue Bot Optimus Prime, and I was like, ah! Oh, cool. And Rescue Bot Optimus Prime is also really cool! He's just like a... I just found out while we were recording that you can fold his feet up, so that makes him a two-step transformation. But you fold his feet out, and then just move everything, and he transforms. And it's really calming. Like, again, you just fold the legs down, everything transforms. I find it's like a transforming stress ball. Really, really just kind of, like, relaxes you. So I gotta say, like, I have two Rescue Bots toys. I don't know if I'm gonna hunt down any other ones. I mean, I got a helicopter and I got Optimus Prime. But they're cool. Like, they're neat. I still don't know if I'd pay more than 10 bucks for any of them, but they are hefty, and they have paint apps. They aren't bad toys, they're just not very good collector toys, but they aren't even trying to be. Like, you try to tell me these are collector's toys, I'm going to say that you're a very strange person with weird priorities. But I kind of dig them, so I got to give props to Rescue Bots, and many props to Wingnut, who also gave me something when I was in this big silly autograph table deal. He came by and gave me this really cool picture, and I think that he colored it in with Copic markers, of Omega Spreem with two of his women's at his legs, like, hanging off of him. And it's a really cool picture, and I flipped out when he gave it to me, and I made him sign it, because it's the nicest thing I've gotten Spreem-wise in a while. So, thank you, Wingnut, for making my MagFest a little bit more Transformers-y. Have either of you guys gone in on Rescue Bots yet? Because I know we all talk about them now and then, but...
I haven't. I've managed just to, again, steer clear of those.
Yeah, I think you've gone to three completely different worlds that we have just completely stayed away from.
I like how Hercules, and it's not just you guys, but on, like, outright online stores, TFC Hercules is a completely separate thing from everything else. Anyway, hopefully I will be picking up two more Hercules bots next month, or maybe at the end of this month. I'm not sure. But that's all the Transformers I got this week. So, do you guys mind if I just roll into the other stuff I got this week?
Sure.
Might as well.
Sure, here. I mind.
All right, we're going to go off topic. You can't do anything about it, Aaron, who minds. Slam your fist. This hurts my feelings. Do you guys know this little company called Nika Toys?
Yeah.
I got Nika Toys. I was downtown and I saw these Ezios from Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and they were only like 18 bucks each. So I bought the black one and then immediately went back and got the white one right afterwards. Because they're really good! They're really poseable, all things considered. Like, when you look at those guys, they don't look very poseable in package because you cannot see any of their joints. And they have so many joints hidden underneath soft plastic parts. Like, a lot of the clothing is is layered soft PVC over top of really heavy joints. And they're really good for, like, under 20 bucks. The only problems I had with them were some fused joints. And on Nika Toys, it's apparently pretty common. Just, it happens. Glue and or paint gets into the joints. All you gotta do, or at least what I did, was I took a hairdryer to the joints and then tried to move them. Nothing happened. Then put them in the freezer for an hour, took them out, let them thaw for a minute, and then pop, the joints just came right loose. I think it's the combination of it. Like, the hairdryer makes the plastic expand, and then the freezer makes the plastic shrink, and that busts all the glue bonds that formed inside the joints. So they are both great. The white Ezio comes with three pairs of hands, whereas the black Ezio comes with a sword. And they also have different sculpted parts on their forearms, on their hands, and on their costumes. They're really good toys. It reminded me why I like Nika Toys. Even though I haven't bought them for a while, I picked up these guys and was like, now I think I'm going to go and pick up the Gears of War 3 Anya. I don't care if she's looking in two directions. Like, they do some good toys. They do some really good toys. I don't know if either of you guys have any vested interest in Assassin's Creed, but, like, even those blades on his wrists can retract slightly. Like, you can slide them up into his sleeves a little ways. They feel very fragile, so I wouldn't want to do it very often or, like, do it very heavily, but... Man, they're good toys. And so poseable. Like, the only problem with them is that the hips are like the Iron Man 2 toys, where it's like a universal joint that pegs into the top rather than the side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like the post goes up rather than sideways, which means that you have to do a bunch of finagling to choose whether you want the leg to be swinging forward or swinging sideways. But, I mean, that aside, otherwise, these, like, if that wasn't like that, and I suspect that's like that just due to all the sheer amount of plastic hanging out on top, it's highly recommendable toys. Really well done. I like both of them. And they're pretty tall, too. So much props to Nika, even though I'm, like, totally late to the party in terms of giving them those props. I also want to give some props to the man who got me into GLaiOS, Mr. Nice Stuff. I bought some stuff off him during his winter drop, and I got my four figures in the mail a little while ago. He has his own run of Monster in My Pocket style standalone figurines he created called the Anomalies. Really well sculpted little things. They're like 2 or 3 inches tall, and they even have sculpting on the bottoms of their feet, which is very rare. And he recently started to get a run of them done in clear plastic, and so he came up with some really cool stuff. He sprays them all down in Monster color paints and then gives them a gloss coat, and they look like they're made of glass, but they're made of really durable PVC. So I got a Frostonian, which is one that goes in a gradient from translucent blue to matte white, kind of like it's made of snow.
Yeah.
And then I got this two-pack where he did a GLaiOS figure and and one of his anomalies in the same gradient scheme. Mine totally looked like lemon-lime chewy candy because they're all turquoise and yellow and blue. And then he had this thing called a Stuffer, which was this green, yellow, and red robot that's supposed to be a mischievous helper robot. He built them from GLaiOS parts and then gave them some just sweet, sweet gradient paint app work.
There a reason why that one doesn't have a head?
It does. You see that little peg on the top of its dome?
Okay.
That's its eyepiece. It's got a dome head.
Uh-huh.
I like it. It looks literally like it just has a little telescope for an eye, and that's all it has.
Okay.
And it's kind of poseable, too. Like, it's got, all GLaiOS toys, wherever the parts meet, you get a swivel joint. So he's got, like, his head moves, his waist moves, his hips move, his ankles and knees can swivel sideways, and then he's got, like, he's got a solid up and down shoulder joint where those big yellow domes are, and then where the red forearms plug in, they can swivel from side to side at an angle there, and then he can also swivel his hands. So it's kind of cool. But, yeah, nice stuff. He does some really cool things. He's about to actually have a sale this weekend, but if you go to his site, he's got a store where he's got some stuff for sale, but he also has a sold-out section where he shows everything that he's made that he already has sold completely, and he has some really cool-looking stuff in there. It's not going to be for everybody. Like, his anomalies are standalone little figurines like Monster in My Pocket or Muscle Man, but if you do dig that kind of stuff, I would highly recommend checking out his work. It's really cool. And he's a very cool guy. He's got my eyebrows.
Okay, from that slightly different angle, I can see how that's a head with an eye stalk.
Mm.
The photo that you have make it look like there's just a piece missing straight from the... Since it's kind of straight on.
I just talk some smack on my photo taking work.
Well, if we want to go there, it's kind of grainy. It looks like you need to adjust your white balance some, because that white on that Frostonian guy is really blown out. I mean, come on.
What
are we, amateur hour here?
No, I have an iPhone 3GS, all right? I don't have my fancy... Well, I don't have a fancy pants HD camera-bearing iPhone like the rest of Merca.
Maybe if you showed some dedication to the group. Maybe if you cared.
Yeah. Huh? Maybe if I cared. But guess what? I don't have to. Because I'm big time now. I don't have to care about nobody. But yeah, I really like Nice Stuff's stuff. I also like buying stuff from him because he charges like really, really realistic shipping. So when you buy 3 or 4 figures from him, the shipping is like maybe $5 tops.
Okay.
Which is a nice change of pace from the story I'm about to tell.
Story time now?
So Gog, Dog, and Krasis and the rest of the internet all get these 12-inch Sideshow Collectibles Cobra Vipers, which look gorgeous. I totally decided to, like, I got some extra money on Christmas, and I decided to be an idiot rather than saving it like I needed to, and I was like, oh, I'll order one of these Sideshow guys. I mean, he's $135 in shipping. He'll be all right. So I ordered this guy from Sideshow.com, like an idiot, because I wanted to get the EX version that only they have, which comes with an alternate head that I'm never going to use. So let me pull up the emails here. Let's see. Sideshow. And, so I put in this order, and the shipping options had me pause, because there's only shipping options to Canada. The cheapest shipping option was FedEx. Now, usually I avoid courier services, because FedEx and UPS and Purolator are the worst things to ever happen to Canada, because they suck. They're expensive to use, and they have a baked-in cash-on-delivery customs fee that they charge you themselves, regardless of whether or not Canada Customs looks at what they're doing. And I'm pretty sure they skim some off the top to fill their coffers, because they're a bunch of dicks. So, this toy is $135, and then the cheapest shipping option is $23 shipping through FedEx. Now, granted, it would have a tracking number and get here in like a week. So I'm like, all right, I can accept that. So it gets here, and then... I'm not here when it gets here because it arrives during MagFest. So I figure, like, whatever, I'm sure it's a courier service. They'll offer me extra services, blah, blah, blah. I come back. Now, number one, there's a COD charge, which I should have expected, you know, and I was expecting it, but I wasn't expecting it to be $30. So the customs fee was more money than the shipping fee. That's the first part of this, which means now that this toy, which was $135, cost me $188. And I love this figure, but it's not worth that ever. It is a complete not $188 figure. And that really skewed my opinion of it for the first couple hours. The other problem was, they said, I called them basically, because I have no idea how the hell you get FedEx packages brought to your house or picked up or anything in Canada. So I call their number, which is a 1-800 number, and I get this smarmy dickhead on the other side who's all like, how may we help you here at FedEx? And just for context, I wasn't ranting at him like this. I was being all polite and stuff, because I'm a nice guy in real life.
And they still have your toy.
No, I went and got it. But basically he said, like, oh, yes, we've expended our number of delivery attempts, and you'll have to pick it up. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I had no idea that delivery attempts were a finite resource that the world is trying to conserve. But I suppose that's the U.S. economy, which has nothing to do with Canada. But aside from that, I said, okay, where do I pick it up? He said, well, it's out in Don Mills. I'm like, oh, Is there public transit to get to that area? And he's like, oh, yes, yes, we've had people take transit there before. So I look it up. So basically, I had to do a one-hour streetcar transfer to subway, transfer to bus trip to get to the place, and then do a one-hour bus trip, transfer to subway, transfer to streetcar trip to get home. So this thing cost me $188 and 2 hours of my time to get a hold of. Not to mention that at the FedEx office, the woman behind the counter was a dick who ignored me silently for about 45 seconds. And then when she brought the package out, she threw it on the counter like it was a cinder block. So basically, here's the thing I'm saying. If you are an international person, do not, under any circumstance whatsoever, order anything from Sideshow Collectibles ever! Unless they offer a reasonable shipping service. If you're an international person, especially if you're in Canada, never, ever order something that uses UPS or FedEx unless you really want that thing and are prepared to pay an extra $30 to $50 to $90, in fact, on some items that I've had come through UPS on that thing, because that is how it's going to go down. And it sucks because it's a good figure. I open it up. I really like it. I actually calmed down quite a bit by doing the Molly Weave on its ammo belt. To get it all put together. Beautiful figure. Highly recommended. Unless you're Canadian, in which case, go find somewhere else that's selling it.
You know you got peeps what will middleman for you, right?
I don't like the idea of having to pay shipping and then pay shipping again when it's within my own continent. I think that is stupid. I've done it, but I don't like doing it, and I've generally...
Yeah, it's horrible, it sucks, but you know what's going to happen. You know you got peeps what will take care of that for you, right?
Yeah. I didn't think that I would need to think about doing that for stuff that wasn't like Amazon.com or whatever. Anyway, the other clincher on this little thing, the final little cherry on this diuretic sundae, was number one, Sideshow sends me a $25 coupon as part of an international customer appreciation deal, which I thought was really nice until I saw that there was a $30 customs charge, at which point I said, well, that's a real nice backhanded way to not even cover the customs charge, you bunch of idiots. That said, I love everyone at Sideshow. They're all really good people. The other thing that happened is in the package was a Sideshow gift card for being a first-time Sideshow buyer. And I went and entered the gift card into the website, upon which it said, that gift card is worth $0. And I was like, oh, that's nice. What could I use that $25 gift card on? I take a look. Oh, a whole bunch of crap I don't want. All right, so silver lining is the gift cards I didn't get or did get or whatever were totally not worth it anyway because I can't use them on anything that's any good. So I really like the Cobra Viper, but I don't like anything about how I got a hold of the Cobra Viper. It was a real bummer. And I know, it's all first world problems, but man, it sucked. Especially because I wasn't going to buy the thing until I was like, oh, it's Christmas, I got some extra money, I'll impulse buy this because everyone says it's cool. And it was a totally awful decision to make. If I could go back in time, I would live without the Viper because it's nice, but it wasn't worth all that at all. And yeah, I know people are middleman and stuff, but god damn it, I don't want to have to go through that kind of crap in my own continent.
Yeah.
It's
decent
stupid.
Amount of not cool.
It's really stupid. And I why would you have an international appreciation program while using FedEx? It's like, no, we appreciate you. We know that you need to sit down on this seat covered in poison-ridden gold tacks to do anything with us, but here, have a piece of pie. It's our way of appreciating it. Anyway, I really don't like courier services, because they suck, and they make me get all tetchy. That's also all the stuff I got this week. That's all of my ranting done. Sorry about the aggro there. I like Sideshow a lot, but much like FunPub, they need to learn how to ship things to other countries, because they clearly don't know how. And there I go, dropping some wang on FunPub. I'm sorry about that, Pete. So, Aaron, what did you get this week?
You good?
Well, you know what? I also went to MAGFest and had a really good time. I should mention that.
Okay.
That was a music and gaming festival. I met a lot of people. It was a good, fun social time. I barely got anything done because I was having so much fun. And just checking my Twitter, apparently a new friend I made there is totally cursing me out for introducing him to the concept of 3A toys and World War Robot. So I did some good, you know. I fought the good fight. Okay, I'm done.
Okay. couple of Power Ranger-y things. Managed to see the Shark Zord, which is one of the auxiliary Zords from Power Ranger Samurai. I'm forgetting what the name of it was in Japan.
I'm not going to go near this.
The one that turns into the sword and gives him a
the sword hat.
The sword,
yeah, the sword hat.
I love that.
Not the tuna fish, but the weird dinosaur thing.
Oh, the Kyori origami. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They called it a shark in America for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though it has legs, but anyway,
the leg shark.
Yeah,
it's a land shark.
Yeah.
I love that Transformer.
Yeah, you hit a button, it sounds like Chevy Chase.
But, saw that just to keep up with that. I also saw that the Bullzord, which is the last of the main ones, is starting to pop up, and got all excited and started pawing through everything at that Walmart, like, it's gonna be here, it's gonna be here, it's gonna be here, it's gonna be here. It wasn't there.
Did you perhaps catch that news on Toku Nation, a new nation that has risen?
Yes, I did. In fact. So, got that, and it makes a sword and a new hat. And it has a silly Red Ranger that has no poseability. Oh, no, his wrist rotates around.
Well, that's exciting.
But he's holding his sword straight out to the side. So, but his helmet also comes off.
Ooh, that's
which
exciting.
Is a new thing, and it's like a mask helmet.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Also picked up from the land across the sea, Gokai Yellow figure art.
Hey, how much did you pay for that?
I paid approximately $85 shipped, which is $15 cheaper than the pre-order. I was able to get it big bad. So I felt like I came out ahead. It still is rough because the yen is so far off of the U.S. dollar right now. I think the last time I looked, it was like 75 or 72 yen to the dollar.
Oh God.
When I remember doing stuff and it was like 101 yen to the U.S. dollar. So our purchasing power has fluctuated quite a bit. I was concerned because the box that it came in, like half of the box was smushed flat.
Oh, good.
And I was freaking the heck out. But what had happened was the eBay seller shipped it in a box that was much larger than what it needed to be.
Okay.
So somewhere along the way, it was, it's a Tamashi exclusive, so it comes in the brown packing box to protect the inner box, and it was double wrapped in bubble wrap and had packing peanuts inside of it. So it wasn't, it was well protected, but it was just, there was an area that had no structure to it. So somewhere along the way, something had landed on it and smushed it, the one end. And all I get is a twit pick from the roommate of, oh, hey, Aaron, look, your package came. And I was like, no. But yeah, she is another figure art. Since it's a Tamashii exclusive, it's a big box because it has the steering wheel thing in the back of the box in a separate clamshell.
Yeah.
You have to tear her apart.
I was going to ask you.
Oh.
How are the legs done on that one? Like, do they have the weird skirt thing the Shinkendra's had, or is it more of a
it
joint?
It has two things for the skirt, actually. Let me unbox this here. I'm well prepared with the completely off topic stuff.
Live unboxing, Pawn!
Yeah. So she actually has two different skirts.
Oh, it's like, that's like the Shinkendra ones then. Like the locked skirt and the jointed skirt.
Yeah. And it's not really locked even. It's a really soft plastic for the good looking skirt. But she can still pose her legs way forward. You just end up with a split down the side. Or you can tear her apart at the waist and plug on what's kind of like a bikini bottom piece, and then two other pieces that go over the hips.
Okay.
And then she comes with a whole whack of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 hands. the big old double sword, a roped sword, and then the normal sword and pistol. But great accessory count, again, out of a figure art. And two more, and I've got the set, and I can not ever get some of these again.
I'm getting really close. I forgot to mention, actually, in my own off-topic, I got some fig arts. One of them was Gokai Green, one of them was Kamen Rider Knight. And having the three Gokai boys all sitting there with their cockpit materials,
yeah,
really gets you pumped. It's like, oh man, this is something. This is something that's happening.
That's why Gokai Yellow went from being a pre-order that I knew was going to take a while to, I'm just going to go ahead and bite on that and start really shopping around for Gokai Pink.
Yeah.
For when that happens, and then Silver, and then I hope that they don't do too many of the wacky other things that have happened throughout this series.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Gokaiger doesn't become a really big task for me to track down when I go after the ladies.
Yeah.
Because
what happens if they do Gokai Christmas?
Shut up! I'm not going to... Also, by the way...
Listeners, the Gokai Christmas was the Christmas theme episode. There's a guy that can do more than the set routines, and so he got the red key and the green key and made a wish and then became a red and green Power Ranger dude.
Yes. I just want to throw in about Kamen Rider Knight. He comes in a huge box, but about 50% of that box are just all his various capes that he can wear.
Really?
So I really recommend that toy, because he's got one cape that's multiple parts to form the shape of a cape that's turning into a drill. And he's got another cape, which is posable and flowy. And then his other cape is a bat. And the bat's posable. A whole bunch. Good toy. Anyway. That's all I got. I'm done!
Okay. Yep. I'm pretty much done myself. I've picked up a couple video games, but haven't gotten the chance to play them. So, not really going to talk about them. Picked up Skyrim again for the PC.
Oh, so you bought Skyrim again.
Yeah. Well, I didn't buy the one for the 360, thank you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to misrepresent you there.
It was a Steam sale, so it was...
Oh, poor you!
$34 for the PC, I instantly went into the console and went like, whee! Okay.
I can already play this game, but this is on sale on Steam, so I guess I'll buy it again, which is kind of like...
Well, when somebody's playing Arkham City downstairs, and I don't want to see some of it so that I'm not ruined on potential plot points and whatnot.
I guess.
Can come upstairs and do something other than just Civ 5, because I'll play Civ 5 all day long, and then all night long, and then most of the next day, and then most of the next night, and then wonder how come I can't stand, oh yeah, because I've not eaten anything in 48 hours.
Alright. I'm trying to think if I got any games. I bought a bunch over Boxing Day, but I didn't actually play any of them because I got sick. I got Fever Dreams. That's what I was thinking. Is that all you've got then, Aaron?
Yeah.
All right, Omegas, what did you get that is not Transformers?
Not Transformers. Okay, let's see. Where to start off? I guess I start off with more little plastic toy switches that came in.
So, do you have the belt yet?
It's still on the way.
This isn't healthy, all right? I know this is all stuff you ordered at the same time, but this doesn't read healthy when you're like, no, I was just buying switches. I bought lots of switches. So what are you doing with the switches? I don't know.
Just switching them.
I had to do this for O's too, but it worked out in the end.
Yeah, but it's gotta be weird, like. If I'm gonna, so what do you think of those new switches you got? They switch.
They do this, and then that.
Click.
Man, you know what I got? I got a toy that does this, and then this. Just did that to mess with Aaron.
People and your sound effects. Yeah, right now there's an unfortunate line of switches that have never seen a belt.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my fault for ordering stuff SAL around the holidays.
It happened to me. That's why my Kamen Rider Knight took until now to get here, even though he was shipped in December 12th.
That was the ongoing thing about this Switch, because it's DX Switch Set 1.
Oh, man.
But this thing set the record for how long an SAL box took for me.
You know what? I'm going to admit, I actually got that Switch set before I got the belt as well.
Yeah.
And that Switch set is one of the least fun things to not have a thing just to come into. Like, yo, look, the pull on the... Yeah, all right.
No, this thing took a grand total 6 weeks, 5 days to arrive. I ordered this thing in November.
Oh, wonderful.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which kind of gives you an idea of just how backed up they are. I have no idea when I will see my belt. It is 4.5 weeks out now. But it's weird because I was waiting for either one or the other to come in. If the belt came in, I kind of know, okay, then yeah, the Switches are lost. And if the Switches came in, then there's hope. You know?
And so hope happened.
Yeah, so hope happened. And it happened the morning that me and my friend, who's my title card artist for videos and such, we had mutually agreed, it's been way over 6 weeks, they're gone. And about 6 hours later, the postman decides to surprise me.
Aww. I mean, that's a happy ending.
It's a happy ending. Other, you know, I'm still waiting.
A happy ending of stuff still has yet to happen.
So yeah. I have to ask, have you ever thought, you know what, it might be worth the increase in cost to not have to worry for 2 months for this toy?
It's a lot of increase in cost, speaking for myself. Although I'm getting to that point, because ever since I got here, it's friggin' East Coast time zone, everything takes longer to get here, and customs notices it more often.
Mm-hmm.
What, yeah. How do you guys survive over here?
Just deal with it.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah. I will say this. If I, you know, anything I spend over, like, $80 on from now on out of Japan, it's EMS. I am not going SAL on anything expensive again.
I've moved up to registered SAL when I have the choice.
Yeah.
This was registered SAL.
Oh, dear.
At least the belt was.
Have you got a status on it, at least?
Tracking number doesn't work.
Oh, I love those ones. I used to get those from China all the time.
I'm just absolutely stuck right now. There's nothing happening. And meanwhile, while I wait for the belt, I also got in the Decade Switch.
Look at all this stuff I can't use.
Yeah!
Woo! I'm not addicted, no. No, it's the mail system. No, listen, no, I bought the belt. No. No, no, but no, no, come back. No, look, I bought the belt. It's just not here yet. It's the mail system. That's all. It's the mail system. I haven't buying these things out of belt. You're crazy. It's just a mail system, that's all. Anyway, I was just wondering if you got anything that kind of makes this noise, like flippy switch noises. I just kind of could use those sort of things. No, 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 it's for the belt. You know, it's not here now. But no, I assure you I bought the belt. No, I don't have an invoice for it or anything, but... I don't know what that was, but that was
Are you done?
No, he's never done.
Sufficiently mocked, thank you.
I can keep going if you like.
I'm done. Actually surprised because I went ahead and decided that, well, okay, if I'm gonna get the writer switches, like, okay, I'm gonna go full bore on these for now.
Yeah.
If Decade comes out in candy or gashapon form, fine. I kept thinking back to like Panda and Kangaroo Metal. Like, oh, okay, yeah, when they're unique and come packed in with things, they don't re-release them. So it's a precautionary for now. If Decade comes out in an easier form, I stop.
I know, but it's just, and I know that your belt's on the way, but it looks so bad.
Shut up.
Why did this guy get all these switches? I don't know.
Hey. I've been buying the switches in bulk, okay? It's easier to do when they first come out.
But that sounds worse.
If I'm mm-hmm. going to get them eventually, I might as well get them when they're cheap.
I know. It sounds worse when the reasoning is, no, I buy 30 of them at once because it's cheaper. I'm not addicted.
People judging me just because I've got 15 more on the way now.
aside from switches for a belt that remains forlorn to you, anything else this week?
I did have a belt come in.
Ah!
That is actually intact in box by itself.
And it works? And everything?
And it works.
All right.
Yeah. Well, works being a relative term, it is the DX Ryuki belt.
Ooh! I almost bought that a few times. That one's simple.
Yeah. That was one of those years where the weapon toy was far more important to them than the belt.
Yeah.
But I have something in my head going, you know, I've done pretty well on belts. I bet I could get all of the main Heisei ones. And, like, now I'm only two off.
Well, you know, I heard there's a whole lot of Fies and Kaiza belts and everything all over.
Don't mention Fies on eBay. I kind of got screwed over on one.
I know, I heard. But yeah. There's also Delta belts on eBay and everything.
I've got Delta.
And Orga, apparently. I didn't know.
I've seen a few Orgas.
It's so weird. Like, Jai-D, that Welshman that he is, was all like, hey you. And I'm like, hey, listen. I got the Delta belt back when it came out. Most people don't believe me when I say that, but I did. I thought Delta was the coolest character. That's where you say which Delta. But up, Tokyo Nation. that was all for you, Chosen. Yeah. We appreciate that.
Anyway. Every report you ever heard about this belt is true. It's incredibly simple. It makes like three noises total, and that's it. It's big and shiny chrome because I think they subconsciously knew that this belt does nothing. So we got to make it pretty.
It's like, what can we do to guss this up?
Yeah, I was going to buy. Yeah, I was just going to wait and buy it used with it, you know, because eventually one would come up that would be dirt cheap. But I just got to thinking that chrome. You know, it'd be better just to buy it brand new as long as there's these cheap ones out of Korea.
Yeah, and at least you'll know about the chrome.
Yeah, at least I know it's going to look fresh and new, and it's the Korean version, so I got the Zolda deck along with Ryuki and Knight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the trick is they only come with one card each.
Oh. Aside from eBay triumphs and that horrific thing that went down on eBay otherwise, anything else this week?
Last thing I got, let's see. I can remember. Have you ever seen the site T-Fury?
That sounds familiar.
It's one of those 24-hour shirt shops.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Picked one up the other day. First time I'd ever gone in on one of these, so... it's one of those things, like... It's like, it's $10 and $3 to ship. How good of a shirt can it be? And, like, I'm very surprised. This is nicer than things that I pick up off the rack.
Oh, cool.
Very solid. If I can... See how quick I can find the design so you know what the hell I'm talking about.
In the meantime, oh man, let me tell you all about these toys I got. Oh man, ratchet joints.
Yeah.
Oh, hey Aaron, hey.
Mm.
How's it going, Aaron?
Mm.
I'm here to seduce you with my ratchet joints.
Mm. Keep it going.
This is wrong.
This is like audio porn. You know what I found out while I was at MAGFest? Someone was telling me, because I was talking to somebody, I forgot how this came up, but I was like, you know how there's people who are turned on by people eating food? And I was like, I wish it was that easy. Like, just watch someone eat food. And someone was like, you know there's audio stuff that turns people on. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, there's people who just, they get viciously turned on by somebody whispering about playing video games. And I was like, what? And he's like, it's true. And I was like, do you know how much simpler your life would be if that was your porn? It would be audio porn. You wouldn't even have to have like a book to like hide under your jacket or anything. It'd just be like, oh, hey, I'm just listening to a podcast. And like you go into the washroom and like, I mean, man, life would be easier. Life would be so much easier.
Somewhere out there, we are someone's porn.
That would, you know what? If a podcast was my porn, again, that would be so much easier. Everything would be easier. Easier and more discreet, you know?
Vangelis is fascinated. Aaron is scared.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to fill in time while you look for this t-shirt design.
Your obsession with porn.
No, just weird audio. Hey, look, it's a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's a t-shirt. I'm something of a Mario Kart player online, so I picked this shirt where very realistic guy looking in his rearview mirror at a very cartoony blue shell coming right for his bumper.
Oh, man. I like the idea behind the shirt. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. This was hilarious for me.
Those people in the picture wearing the shirt are totally not wearing the shirt.
Yeah.
That was totally photoshopped on. But that's a cool shirt.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the site. There's some real creative shirt designs that come up. But this is just the first kind of faded little moment where everything kind of converged for me to pick up the first one. And I get the feeling I'm going to have a wardrobe from this place eventually.
How is the quality of the print? Does it feel okay?
Yeah. It's not like in quick iron-on or one of those little quick four-color jobs or anything like that. I mean, it's nice. It's vibrant. There's good detail in it. It feels solid.
Oh, cool.
A friend of mine's got shirts from there that apparently lasted her 2 years now, and they still look brand new, so.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I mean, I'm not at all a big t-shirt buyer anymore, but I can appreciate, like,
yeah.
This looks like a really cool, like, idea that every day they just have a cheapo 24-hour shirt go up.
Yeah. The one thing I still confuse is that when you go to the site, you have this little thing on the right where, keep in mind, there's only one t-shirt design. After that, the shirt's retired, never to be sold again.
Yeah.
So they've only got one shirt available at any one time. You look over here on the right, and you see, okay, here's all the sizes, and here's the quantity of when you click on them. So basically, when you hit add to cart, you get every single one, you know, guys, girls, multiples, you know, whichever, you know, however many you need and whatever type you need. But there's still a shopping cart system.
Hmm.
Like, there's still a physical shopping cart and a button in the shopping cart going, want to continue shopping?
Yeah, I totally want to go and buy the shirt again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But it's a fun site just to check every day, just to see what's coming up.
Yeah, no, it looks like that Woot site I keep hearing about, too. Daily Woot.com, Woot something, Woot. Whatever it is that... Did you get anything else this week?
You don't listen to me, do you?
Hi. Welcome to TFW at WTF 2005. We are here today to talk to you about tfury.net.
As stated, that was the final thing I had gotten.
Excellent. That means that we're done. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for sticking with us. This has been WTF at TFW. If you want to leave us a voicemail, our voicemail inbox number is area code 318-775-9830. 775-9830 with the area code of 318. 1-318-775-9830 for those of us who are in the international zones who need a country code. This has been Vangelis. That's been Aaron and Omegas. Guys, I think that we did a good one, and I think it's time for me to heat some meat and beat my... I don't know what I was talking about there. Seriously, though.
I'm glad for this thing to be winding down so I can open up my window and drop about 15 degrees.
Whispering about video games.
Yes.
Like, what if I could make money doing that? Like, what if someone would pay, like, 15 bucks? I'm like, all right, I'm turning on the PS3.
Oh, you went that way. Why didn't you go for the Xbox? You can get achievements that way.
Because I'm loading up the most broken version of Skyrim. I'm rolling up my Argonian. It's a lizard lady. I'm making the skin pink.
So doesn't work without the ukulele.
Are you going for feathers on her head or not? Of course, I'm putting feathers on her head. It means that she's a lot more funky. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I'm totally pulling the left trigger to swing my sword. Oh, man. Left-handed. I'm going and double-handed. I'm going double-handed. I'm switching to the Warhammer.
I am so not getting to sleep tonight.
Why am I going double-handed on an Argonian when they are built for stealth? I don't know. Let's crouch down and use a bow. It's better that way. Oh, man, I'm going to use this bow real hard. Oh, yeah. I'm using the butt of the bow and arrow. I'm shooting the mist. That's okay. All right, thanks. I'm going to give you a bye.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.